I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
Why are they doing this now?
Well, it's a good question as to why they waited this long, but
exactly.
Yeah. Alex Jones has been banned from Facebook for a long period of time, but now they banned him. They banned his like little underling, Paul Joseph Watson.
Now that they kicked them off the platform, that's great for now, but it doesn't roll back the clock.
Well, you have also excesses in the First Amendment and the Second Amendment right now. You know, I don't think that the forefathers said, well, you can say, you know, all sorts of hateful things and spread it around the world, literally spread it through the internet.
I have no issue with it at all. I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted.
But don't worry. These people aren't terrifying or anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this live September 6th, 2019 global transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be, again, live here the next 4 hours. Tom Papert is going to be in studio with us. Owen Schroyer with huge news. Will Johnson with a lot of big, important announcements. And Dr. Nick Begich as well on this live global original Friday transmission. Again, I am your host, Alex Jones. When we come back, I'm going to launch into our top story. And I'm going to, again, sit here and ponder what that top story is. But I think the takeaway from all of the big developments that are unfolding that are unbelievably important is that there are evil people and there are good people in the world. And most of the good people are asleep. And the bad people are spending their time trying to keep the good people asleep. The Washington Post and CNN like to talk about the post-truth era when we've been in the post-truth era for the last really 50, 60 years, and now so-called mainstream media has been intensifying their lies to staggering levels. And then those of us that question their lies, well, they then say that we're the liars who need to be locked up, who need to be put in prison. I saw a Yahoo story this morning without looking. I was on the front page of Yahoo. Alex Jones loses Sandy Hook lawsuit appeal. Fake news, not true. And I sat there for like 30 minutes. I got up at 5 a.m. I was helping my middle daughter on homework, so she got up early at 6 a.m. But before that, when I was making breakfast and doing stuff at like 5:15, started making breakfast for the family, I like doing it. I was sitting there with a iPad laying on the counter in between reading the comments, and I could do a whole 4-hour show on that. The viciousness, the delusion, the comments, he needs to be in a forced labor camp. He needs to die. I hope he gets killed. Thank God he's going to go bankrupt and be shut down. And then comments like, I bet his viewers and listeners, I bet they think this is fake news. So I probably read, let's not exaggerate, I can read pretty fast, 300 comments in like the 10 minutes I looked at it, maybe 20 minutes off and on. Just, I mean, I couldn't turn away. I'd be like cooking eggs and cutting up strawberries and, you know, baking biscuits and getting jelly out and hot sauce and grilling myself some onions for my omelet I was making and getting the homework stacked up over on the, you know, bar area where we were going to do simple, you know, sixth grade math. And I was just engrossed in it because you could teach a college course on the mental illness of those people and how controlled they were and how they were all just parroting the same thing. And then maybe every 20th comment. Yeah, that's the Hill version. It's on the front page of Yahoo, at least it was this morning. Same headline. It's like 2,500 comments as of this morning. Probably has more now. But it's on the front page of Yahoo. Just go there, you'll see it. And it was just total lies and viciousness and authoritarianism and calling for my head. This is a group of authoritarian criminals down to the grassroots.
enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
It is Friday, September 6, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones, here, live on air, in defiance of the globalist attacks and their hateful will. Thanks to God, and thanks to you. Thanks to this crew, and thanks, again, to the providence that put me in the position to see what the globalists were doing 25, 26 years ago and decide to take action. Now, I had a vision of what I was going to do, and I always expected to trigger others to take action and reverse the course of the post-human era. I never really imagined that I would end up in a leadership position. My main goal that I've been stating for 25 years is to spur folks from what you'd call the leadership ranks of society to not destroy their own birthright and destroy their own bloodline, signing on to what is true, raw, bona fide evil. But we're here, and we've changed the course of history. We've done this together, and we are now in the middle of a battle that is very intense and could go either way. That's why the forces of evil, of dehumanization, of greed and hatred and lies are so angry and throwing out all the stops right now. Because humanity was asleep, and their victory was almost complete. But in the 11th hour, 58th minute, the spirit of humanity began to rekindle its fire. And that's why we see all the intimidation and all the authoritarianism and all the attempts to bankrupt and attack anyone that criticizes these authoritarian control freak bullies in any way. Because they had all of this already planned. They're now just throwing their full will at us in an attempt to make us reverse course. But that's not going to happen. Real leadership is not even being a good speaker. Real leadership is not being able to convince people to do things. Leadership that's positive is doing things you know are right, that you know are going to end up hurting you, but end up in the end being proven right and launching whole new human systems of success and empowerment and enlightenment as humans ascend and become closer to God. That's leadership. Sabotaging culture, learning how to manipulate people, engaging in deception is cancer. It's knowledge of evil. It's a virus. It manipulates systems that already existed and causes entropy and collapse. It does not progenerate. It does not fount. It does not found. It is not a source. It is not a creator. It is not a builder, a constructor, an expander. They are collapsers. I do not wish to spend with my spiritual will eternity with such, but I must then strive on this plane to resonate with the light and not the Luciferian false light of Lucifer, the bearer who catches God's light and convinces you he's God because he reflects it, but is not the source. Satan is the counterfeitor, not the bona fide, not the bones, not the guts, not the source. Now, let me mention what's coming up today because it's incredibly informative. Head of the United Nations Global Communications says illegally entering the U.S. is a right. But you try to enter the U.N. building, they will arrest you. And if they charge you with fake war crimes, they'll poison you in your jail cell like Slobodan Milosevic. Turkey threatens to flood Europe with migrants. See how it all ties together? EuropeWars.com. Alleged ISIS indicted came to U.S. on visa lottery from Kazakhstan to kill. Johnson says he'd rather be dead in a ditch than ask EU for Brexit delay. So he's fighting to deliver on that so they can get control of their borders again. Russia offered to sell Trump hypersonic weapons, Putin says. Mad as hell, Hong Kongers scream out of apartment blocks every night at 10 p.m. Finland Christian member of parliament under police hate crime investigation after posting Bible verse. Paul Joseph Watson, Infowars.com. Township shuts down 100-year-old fire department after one member tried to join the Proud Boys. That's your virtue signaling. That's right. Punish the whole fire department and let the citizens burn to death because the leftists will teach you that even being near someone proud of America will cause everyone to lose their jobs. That's what the Nazis would do. If one German soldier got killed, they'd kill 15 people in a town. If an officer got killed, they'd kill 100. And if an SS officer got killed, they'd kill thousands. Famous cases of that. Soccer fans banned from flying Betsy Ross abolitionist flag in Utah. That's right. Can't fly that at a soccer game. You can fly whatever you else want, but people are offended by the original American flag designed by George Washington and sewn by Betsy Ross, that evil Christian abolitionist. Facebook will actively push CDC vaccine info, hide data and safety, and the inserts will not be allowed. That's right. Facebook now banning, David Knight covers it in a report, anyone posting the insert that comes with it. Can't show you that insert saying it can kill you. Oh, thanks for keeping us safe, Facebook. PolitiFact rates 100% real photo of Biden with KKK Grand Dragon as mostly false. That's right. Isn't that just amazing? You know, I had Freer Ricky Ross in here, and he's a smart guy, and he'd never heard Hillary Clinton say black people are super predators, need to be brought to heel like dogs. That's a quote, by the way. You mean to play it again for you? You know what? Go look it up yourself if you want to see it. I mean, this is the magnitude. Like Bernie Sanders saying we need to abort the brown and black babies. He actually said that 2 days ago. But that's okay. He's Bernie Sanders. Now, if Hitler said it, it'd be bad. But when Bernie Sanders said it, I did. Researchers blame marriage rate decline on lack of economically attractive men. Yes, that's what women have been taught. What matters is someone that's loving and hardworking and cares about God and wants to have children with you. That statistically is going to make you happy. But see, they've taught women and men that if you don't have all the bling, you're a nobody. Meanwhile, your children are being taught by convicted pedophiles at drag queen story time. Biden says, hell yes, I'll appoint Barack Obama to Supreme Court. Another reason that despite the fact Trump isn't perfect, he's done light years better than Hillary. And we got two decent Supreme Court justices compared to what we would have gotten. We would have been sunk. And then all we would have had is a civil war to stop him. Meanwhile, Portland cops say it's legal for homeless to defecate in public. And of course, just north of there, they're now saying they're not going to wash the poop off the streets because it's a sign of abuse to the homeless and reminds them of black people being sprayed with water hoses, fire hoses in the civil rights movement. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And Owen Schroyer will be in studio, InfoWars exclusive. Austin, Texas is rapidly spiraling into a hellhole. Owen Schroyer, Savannah Hernandez and others did a great job at city council breaking it down. This is a designed system to bring cities down and then bring hundreds of millions of dollars into the Democrat city councils whose wives and husbands run the systems that cater and sell the drugs to the slugs. So Austin, Texas, falling into a leftist black hole by design. Meanwhile, the really big news. We'll go through all of this. Americans have become children in major studies, demanding, dependent, and needy. Always happens before the collapse. And Buttigieg says Christians are going to have a reckoning. He's coming for you.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river. with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
With diamonds. I wonder what he's talking about. Have you ever looked into a clear blue sky laying out on a green hill in the fall and just laid there for hours on a blanket and then watched the sun slowly set? You can see the diamond lattice of the universe, God's handiwork in the firmament. And you don't even need to be on LSD to see it. That's the amazing part. All right, let's get really serious here, ladies and gentlemen, because we're in a serious world. We have Biden saying, hell yes, I'll appoint Barack Obama to the Supreme Court. Here's old Red Eye himself.
Have you called him for advice?
I talked to Barack, and I...
When was the last time you talked to him?
I guess now it's about 3-4 weeks ago.
Okay. Would you appoint him to the Supreme Court?
Hell. Yes. I don't think he'd do it, but I...
He was a constitutional professor at the University of Chicago.
No. I understand. He's fully qualified. Fully qualified.
Have you asked Michelle Obama for advice?
Only to be my vice president. I've been asking her. I'm only joking. Michelle, I'm joking.
Uh-huh.
How's a joke?
All right. Now, again, I told you 2 months ago that I was told by folks that were involved in his security detail, because he gets Secret Service, the same type of folks that told me Hillary's in a black ambulance, she's falling down, having convulsions every 45 minutes. Remember we told you that first, then they got caught on tape in New York? We caught her on tape in an emergency tent for an hour and a half in Ohio. Millie Weaver and her crew did. Remember three-plus years ago during the campaign? Well, the same people, similar people, the same agency said, listen, Joe's cussing, yelling, why am I doing this? Why am I here? I should just quit. They had articles saying that was fake news. Oh, now the headlines. AP, Politico this week. Can Biden do it? Is he too old? Will he drop out? Pressure mounts for him to drop out. And then it came out, 3 days ago. Obama told him, do not run. You're too old. Don't do it. And there you go. And now his eye blood vessels start breaking during the speech. He's on blood thinners. He had one of the worst type of strokes you can have at the base of your brain. They thought he would probably die from it. He lived. That was back in the 90s. And he's clearly had a stroke since then, because he was a well-spoken guy 3 years ago. I mean, anybody knows Biden's a slick talker. He can't talk anymore. He's had a stroke. He's had a stroke. He's had a stroke. And so what does that mean? Well, it means Elizabeth Warren. That's really who you're probably looking at, or maybe Kamala Harris. But she polls at 1% with black Americans. I mean, black Americans know that lady isn't black. And there's nothing against her that she's, you know, Indian and maybe 5% African-American or something. That's fine. Our first female president will be Indian. But she's just not black. And she also was a mastermind at locking black people up. She was one of the most vicious in California history. So Elizabeth Warren, and that's who Trump's actually worried about, because a bunch of women will vote for old meth eyes. And boy, does she look like she's on some speed at these debates. That old mean-looking praying mantis, that cutthroat corporate raider lawyer, because she's a woman. That's it. Because I'm a woman. Now, moving on to some more of these vicious individuals, we have folks running around like Mayor Pete Buttigieg saying the Republican Party and Christianity are due for a reckoning because we hurt children by stopping them at immigrant centers that Obama's buddies built and got money for before he left office when he encouraged everyone to flood our borders and get amnesty. He creates the problem, makes hundreds of millions for his buddies. That's come out in the news. It's billions now. Running all of these, Trump upgrades them, makes them better. They show old videos of kids in cages behind barbed wire or behind, cyclone fence, actually, not even barbed wire. Blame Trump, and then this guy says, oh, Democrats love kids. Yeah, Democrats love to have pedophiles. Democrats love to do forced inoculations. Democrats love to kill babies after they're born. You love partial birth abortion. I mean, you guys are stealing their future. You guys say there's too many kids, we shouldn't have kids. But now, Buttigieg, he is the judge of who's good for children. Here it is.
Look, we all have very different, obviously, for as long as there has been faith and as long as there has been politics, there have been different understandings on the right thing to do and how these things fit together. But for the party and the movement known for beating other people on the head with their faith or their interpretation of their faith, it makes no sense to literally vote to take food away from the hungry. To essentially be practicing the very thing that not just a Christian scriptural tradition, but so many others tell us we're not supposed to do in terms of harming other people. And I do think there's going to be a reckoning over that.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people, I think, sitting in the pews hearing political conservatism all around them, wondering whether that really matches
what
we're
happening.
Being told to do.
Not to mention
we're supposed to do it, right? I mean, another very powerful image that I see in Scripture is that of foot washing. God comes among us.
Right.
And instead of expecting to be exalted, is washing people's feet.
Servant.
What a little demonic pig. Get him off there. You mean like all the homeless with the heroin being shipped in, robbing people, pissing on the street, not even using porta-potties, crapping and going, ha, ha, ha. We got video of that today. And the police going, it's a sacrament. Literally. I can play you news clips of city council members in Portland going, it's fun. We poop on the street. I'm not kidding. Woo, poopers. Let's poop. These are scum who want to exploit everything good in your face. They're conquerors, they're trash, they're filth, they're devils. Speaking of that, the bug-eyed chipmunk, Blasey Ford, admits she did all the Kavanaugh stuff and all the other fake garbage. She never met Kavanaugh. All the other women have come out and said that they were liars. A bunch of them have been indicted. Don't hear about that. She said she did it because of abortion. That's why she went and lied, because she wants to kill those babies. Her and Buttigieg love those babies. Bernie Sanders loves them too, especially the black ones. He says we gotta get more aggressive in Africa and Latin America to abort the babies. Here she is. Here's the bug-eyed weasel.
Aftermath of these hearings, I believe that Christine's testimony brought about more good than the harm misogynist Republicans caused by allowing Kavanaugh on the court.
Yeah, that's your
lawyer.
We're
going to have a conservative.
Serpent woman.
Elections have consequences. But he will always have an asterisk next to his name. When he takes a scalpel to Roe v. Wade, we will know who he is, we know his character, and we know what motivates him.
These people have no morals. She goes on, no morals.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones. My love is in
league for the freeway. Something really big is happening right now, and I see it everywhere without even looking. And I'm not bringing this up because it's about InfoWars or yours truly, Alex Jones. It's because it's a bellwether or a barometer. It's a gauge. It's a major indicator. Without looking, I see on YouTube and in comment sections from Yahoo to the Washington Times, liberal, conservative, you name it, people just randomly saying Alex Jones is right. He was right about human-animal cloning. He was right about Epstein and pedophile rings, and even said Epstein was into eugenics. Well, he headed up the Rockefeller eugenics operation, which was the Albert Einstein Institute in New York. I mean, he was in the news decades ago. I know who the guy is. I track these people. So it's not like, again, there's some magical crystal ball here or I've got a time machine. That's what's so frustrating is 99% of what I cover is admitted. The other 1% is what the globalists really believe they're doing and their religion, which is like a science fiction horror movie. Of course, we're on a planet and a lot of weird stuff's going on, so it turns out what they believe is actually what the Bible says they believe. They worship a fallen, off-world, eternal entity that's not very friendly. Let me just leave it at that. It's a planet killer. So that's where we are. But the other 99% is all admitted. And so the good news is people are waking up. The bad news is the system is cracking down and really throwing the book at everybody. And that's why it's so essential now that everyone realize we're entering a real flux point, a real time of change. And all of your action and what you do now today will echo through eternity. So I'm asking all listeners to remember that the power of this broadcast is you. It's not like you're just a leg of it or you're an arm of it or you're part of the brain. You're the whole shooting match. It's you they hate. It's you they want to silence. It's you they want to disarm. It's your children they want to poison and dumb down and mislead into hell with them for eternity. And so I'll say it again. Your word of mouth, spreading the word, however you're listening, however you're watching, continually is unstoppable. Your financial support is central. And your prayers are absolutely eternal and absolute. And I must have them and I need them. So I thank you for them. We make it very easy to support this broadcast. We go out and get the best water filtration, the best air filtration, the best non-GMO seeds, great designer Patriot clothing to spread the word and have fun and meet like-minded people. And I go out and find out what are the best-selling supplements and nootropics and nutraceuticals. And then we make them better with top labs that are already top-tested because we know we're targets. Plus, we want it to work great for you. And then we discount it. So if you want real supplements, the very best that are out there, that'll blow away anything you're going to find anywhere, unless it's three or four times the price, is InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsLife.com takes you right to the supplements. And we have the new Chill Force that goes with Brain Force. Brain Force is a whole bunch of known healthy compounds that give you clean, focused, sustained, long-term energy. And even our enemies take and go, well, it did make me focus more and worked a lot better and longer than espresso. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, four espressos is what Brain Force costs at Starbucks. This is, you know, 30 espressos plus. We're introducing Chill Force, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't make you, it's not a depressant. It stacks with this and focuses it even more. It depends on the person. It also helps you when you've been on a bunch of natural stimulants to stay awake but come off of them. So it does both. It stacks and it's good to come off of, and you can sleep great on it, but it doesn't make you sleepy like knockouts designed to knock you out. Take a couple of those. It's eight known Mother Nature ingredients that do it, period, proven. You know, they go, oh, supplements a scam. Oh, yeah, melatonin's a scam. Oh, L-tryptophan's a scam. Yeah, right. Valerian-rich a scam, right? Chamomile, lemon balm. Oh, it's a scam, right? Yeah, right. No, it scientifically does it. They can't stand it. So it's 50% off to get Brain Force Plus with Chill Force together. And you can get 40% off when you get Chill Force. People are really loving it. This is the last day, though. Or when I say last day, last live show I'm doing. We are selling out of the Carnivore 90 next level enzyme. $17+ it cost us just a bottle. That's free because I want you to see how great it is. With the bottle of DNA Force Plus at 50% off. We'll still have a DNA Force 50% off till it sells out. That's what I've said I'm going to do. But you don't get the free bottle of Carnivore. We're down to like 300 bottles of that right now. It'll be gone by Sunday. So if you want that, 98% reviews on both those, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Okay, I'm done plugging. Thank you for the support. Please support our local AM and FM stations and TV stations as well with your word of mouth and become a sponsor or support the local sponsors or tithe to the truth. I say, is your church exposing post-birth abortion? Is your church exposing the Mark of the Beast world government being announced? Is it exposing the giant pedophile rings? Is it exposing the satanic agenda? No. They're there intimidated by Buddha judge to just worship, you know, pedophile story time. So I say tithe your local stations or just sign the whole world over to hell. Tom Papert manages one of those great TV stations we're on where we went from almost no ratings on that particular channel you gave us to number one. Tell folks about that, and then let's get into what you call the state of the world, good versus evil. The next segment, we're into the whole UN invasion and the latest huge developments there.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on, Alex. And one of the real things that I'm excited about is we kind of helped start InfoWars TV. I don't know if that's even what you call it anymore. I know you're expanding every single day. But this is an over-the-air broadcast network with all the InfoWars programming. David Knight, Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer.
We launched this a few years ago. You were one of the first stations to pick it up.
Right. I kind of talked you guys into it. I said, wait, you've got a signal with everything on there and it repeats the Alex Jones show? Why isn't this all over the country? So it's a phenomenal
way. So we pay for the satellite.
Exactly. It's a phenomenal way to support the broadcast because you don't have to go through Facebook. You don't have to go through Twitter. You don't have to find one of these pirate pages that nobody knows about that's still streaming the broadcast. You can watch it on your TV with an antenna. And the best thing you can do is reach out. If you don't have it in your market, reach out to local TV stations, folks who are patriots more often than not, and tell them, look, this is out there. You need to pick this up. It will be the most popular channel in your market.
Tell folks about your station, and then other stations are fighting to get it. And it's been in the news there.
Absolutely. So we're KCTU TV5 in Wichita, Kansas, cover about 750,000 people, give or take, a few households. And it has absolutely skyrocketed. We're a local TV station, so you've got movies, you've got news, you've got sports, you've got all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, when there's a bump in the night, when there's a power surge, when there's something bad that happens, it's not anybody asking about the movie network. And I love the movie network. It's a great movie network, but it is hundreds and hundreds of calls. What happened to Alex? You're not taking him off. What happened to Alex? Where's Alex Jones? I need my InfoWars. You're not getting rid of InfoWars. It is completely unbelievable. Not only that, people are loving it. People support it. People, they do tithe to the TV station. They do support the advertisers. Advertisers get calls from individual viewers saying, this is amazing. I can't believe it's over the air. Thank you.
And let's be clear. The great part about digital TV now is it doesn't watch you. You watch it. There's no surveillance. And a lot of these stations have 10, 15 channels. You've got a bunch on digital subcarriers where stations are now, hundreds are down doing it, pick up InfoWars 24 hours a day, and they're getting huge response. And like you said, we went on cloud TV, went to number one. We're still on there. We went to number one on Roku. They banned it. We are being banned because we're number one.
That's exactly right. Hey, they wouldn't hate you if you weren't effective. I mean,
again, Joe Rogan's podcast, biggest he ever did, he admits now, is my last interview. Number one, so
I mean, number one by a wide margin. That's what people don't understand, or maybe they do. But this broadcast is the single most important broadcast, I believe, that's currently ongoing. I mean, you can look at some of the other talk radio guys. They're not doing this.
Well, Tucker Carlson's slicker and just as smarter, and it does an overall 1 hour better job. So he's the best thing there is, I think, overall, for just absolute Americana, reboot the country, dead on, can't disagree. But for just firepower, it's InfoWars.
I love that, because I do love Tucker, and he is fighting every single day of his life at Fox News. He has not his producers, but Fox News producers who shut him down every single day of his life. And I love Tucker. He does a fantastic job, but that's the one thing you don't have to worry about.
I know all the backstory. Have I told you the backstory? Or yes, you know about it.
I know some of it.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but he just is like, it's.
I mean, it's World War III over there.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to say it. I can't. I'm not supposed to, so I just.
Well, and I can say that I know I've had stories that were going to get picked up by Tucker Carlson, and they say, no, the producer didn't like it. Doesn't happen with Alex Jones.
Well, it's beyond that. I mean, it hasn't come out yet, but I mean, I've known this for a good year, and no one knows this, so I'm not going to say it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Our moral high ground. I say this in committee hearings, I say this at every single speech. It doesn't make any sense for us to be committing these kind of human rights violations, to have these policies in the way that we interact with migrants and asylum seekers, if we want to continue to be the kind of country that condemns countries in Africa or Asia or Latin American countries for its treatment of refugees and asylum seekers. So we should do what any other country does. by dealing with this situation in a serious way. So we have to bring in the United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees, an agency that has the expertise and the training to handle massive flows of refugees humanely.
Now that's Ilhan Omar, as you know, last week. And I made the point, the media is like, how outrageous, she says, bring the UN to run our borders. Countries that have signed on, which is the majority, to UNESCO and to the UN treaties, like George Herbert Walker Bush did in 92, Congress never ratified it, but still we were following it. And we were following the UN refugee policy since 92 that not Congress, not the State Department, not the Border Patrol, not Customs, but the UN would decide who could come here. And that's why you wonder why you go to Minnesota and it looks like Somalia. And the people are not integrating. They say in interviews they don't want to be there. And they say that they're going to turn America into Sharia law. Because in Islam, once they come into a country, they always end up pushing everyone out. 1,000 years ago, India was more than twice its size now. It went all the way into China, all the way into Pakistan, Kashmir, all the way into part of Asia Minor. That's the Middle East, boys and girls. And the Muslims came in and took most of it and killed all the Hindus and Buddhists. Because Hindus and Buddhists will let you be a Christian or a Muslim, just like Christians will, not the Muslims. That's the thing. And see, they play good cop, bad cop. So now this week, the head of the UN Global Communications, this is on Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson article, says that illegally entering the U.S. is a right. You can go read her statements where she says it's never a crime to seek asylum in another country. But see, they just come in. So if one enters the country irregularly, even if one enters it irregularly, that means illegally breaching it. The UN is saying, this big multinational criminal group created by the Rockefellers to absorb nation states, that it's going to come in and that it's going to take over and then we've got to submit to it. Now, let me roll you some video from South Africa this week of people being burned with gasoline and being necklaced with tires put over their heads with gasoline, something pioneered by Winnie Mandela, who bragged that she personally burned over 1,000 black people to death. Yes, the ANC waged war on at least 4 tribes, including the Zulus. By the way, the ANC represents people in South Africa that invaded in the last 100 years from Central Africa. Only the Zulus were there. Well, now the ANC's learned, though, that when more migrants come in from the rest of Africa, what they do is pour gasoline on them and kill them. We put up a map of South Africa. You'll see Zulu land. That's the only place Zulus, who are like the Comanches of Africa, the big, tall, tough guys. The Zulus all over Africa, that's the tough guys. Everybody's afraid of them. Well, that matter when 10 times the number come in and start killing the Zulu. So let's put a map of South Africa. Just type South Africa in, blow it up. You'll see Zulu land. One little area the Zulus get. Now, my point is, that's apartheid of blacks on blacks. They're second-class citizens. But if you come in from outside of Africa, of South Africa, and you're black, they burn you and kill you in the street. Not the Zulus, but the ANC communist. Tom Papert, this is the UN agenda. Bring in these tribal groups, bring them in that don't assimilate, and let them take over.
That's exactly right. And it's the 100% tried and tested way to destroy a civilization. We've seen it across time. And what you get into, Alex, is really the intelligent part of this, because they're doing this intentionally. It's not by accident that we have the UN trying to destroy Western countries. It's not by accident that we have them doing this exclusively in countries that were settled by high intelligence individuals. They're doing it because they want it to collapse so they can then get even more direct control. And we know that they ultimately want us all dead. They want to kill off 90% of the human population. They do it by destabilizing it first. Then there's war, there's famine, there's everything else. And then boom, they have the solution. They know how to fix everything. So them then they and their families get to live in the shambles that they've created. The planet is dying, but they're happy and they have money.
You know, they've got epigenetics, which is proven instincts compressed that our ancestors pass on to us genetically. It's been proven. It's in all advanced life, but it's even in birds, lizards, they all have it, fish have it. Well, that's why a lot of studies show so much black-on-black crime happens, because there's the ancestral memory of tribal warfare in Africa.
Right.
Why do you think whites statistically kill more whites? It's not just our proximity to each other. There is a genetic memory of that. And that's what the globalists know about. They're trying to manipulate it.
No, you're exactly right on that. And they know also that there have been clashes of culture since the beginning of time. Look at how the Romans fell. They start bringing in all of these tribes that were not genetically similar. There are clashes. They eventually will not adopt to the government. They will not acclimate to the culture. And it falls. And that's what we're seeing now. And it's no coincidence, as you said, that you see places like Little Somalia, or should I say Minnesota, where they bring in these people, and before you know it, the place is totally unrecognizable. They're electing people who look like them and think like them and talk like them. Now, that's the beautiful part, though, right? Because Ilhan Omar, she's a grifter. She doesn't think like they do. She cheats on her husband, allegedly. She does all these incredibly crooked things. So they can't even get that right, the globalists. I mean, there's one thing. As you are continually proven right, Alex, it exposes just how terrible of liars these people are and how sick they are.
And going further, looking at this, we're told we're bad in the West, but we're supposed to then let everybody into our nations. Right. Well, wait, why if you go somewhere like Rwanda, where the small Christian tribe that only got Christianized in the last 400 years ended up having 90%+ of the wealth? And then the UN and the globalists came in because they wanted the people that had all the land in control, and they killed the Christian minority with the animist or earth worship group that was 90%. Now, that's what really happened there, and it's all been admitted. Why would Christians suddenly be able, who were black, to get along with each other and build incredible wealth? Well, Europe, Western Europe was barbarous, and people were living, you know, in huts and caves, basically, and killing each other and cannibalism and human sacrifice until Christianity came. So Europeans had very high IQs, you could say, but were still living just like savages anywhere else. Christianity is, whether you're black or white, is what will unify you in the system and that will produce the productivity and success of Christ's vision. And that's why the globalists want to get rid of it, because they want tribalism. They want to control all of us with divide and conquer.
You're exactly right. In fact, that's one of the things. My church is one of the few that actually does good things. They do mission trips to Tanzania. They've baptized like 25,000 Christians in the last 6, 7, 8 years. It's absolutely unbelievable what they accomplished down there. And in the areas where you now have Lutheran Christians, the violence is disappearing. The sectarian violence, the group, the Muslim against the Christian, against the animus, is totally going away. It's evaporating. There's prosperity there, but they're under attack. They come from other parts of Tanzania, and they literally attack these Christians because they don't like this vision of Christ. They don't like peace. They don't like prosperity. They want it to continue to be a UN-sponsored hellhole.
Again, the answer is Christ, not the fake megachurches, but Christ. And I'm not here selling Christ because I'm being paid to do it, folks. They hate me because I do it. But I'm telling you, it's the only thing that works. And I'm not up here saying I'm perfect. I'm not up here lecturing you how moral I am. But when it comes to standing up against evil, when it comes to trying to defend the unborn, when it comes to believing in America, these churches tell you how moral they are all day. And I guarantee you those preachers aren't. They're probably down at the gay bar giving blowjobs right now. They sell out to the entire system, ladies and gentlemen, and they're there to control you. The devil sends in his main agents into the churches. And you need to know that the most evil you'll feel is in a lot of these mega churches, because the spirit of the devil is in there controlling and neutralizing good people like bugs going to a bug zapper or moths to flame. And that's why Christ came and went after the money changers, after the Pharisees that all pray in public and stand up and tell you how good they are, because they're there to lead you to hell.
Well, look at Pete Buttigieg. It's the perfect example. That is what he represents. He is megachurch candidates.
It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming for our children. They're coming for our souls. And everybody knows it. And everybody feels the quickening coming. Now wait till the next hour. Wait till this is the biggest Big Brother thing yet. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos coming out every few weeks out of South Africa as South African blacks kill black migrants from other parts of the world. Mainstream media works around the clock to cover this up. This is the murder. This is the killing. This is what the left brings you and what the communists of the ANC engage in. Mass extermination of the indigenous tribes of South Africa and now those coming in from outside the nation. This is who the ANC is. And Robert Mugabe just died. He, of course, took over a large part of Africa, exterminated all the whites that didn't run. He's being hailed by the AP as a savior. Mugabe dies, liberated Zimbabwe, then held it 37 years. We'll get to that in a moment. Tom Papert's riding shotgun with me. But UN holds Europe hostage as Turkey threatens migrant invasion. Turkey says if they don't let Turkey set up political parties in Europe to then take over Europe, they will unleash millions more invaders into Europe. Turkey threatens to flood Europe with migrants, holding them hostage. Erdogan calls upon Western nations to fund the reparation of millions of Syrian refugees he plans to resettle in a safe zone. If not, he will ship them into Europe. This is the plan. This is how they operate. This is us being held hostage.
Absolutely right. And they've done this before. Every single time Turkey wants something, they say, hey, we've got these millions of refugees. And if you don't give us exactly what we want, they're going into Europe. And really, this is the dumbest. It's not even dumb. It's all planned. They know what they're doing. And the problem is now you've got a few countries in Europe, Central and Eastern Europe, that are starting to fight back. But this was all by design. They want Turkey to be a member of the EU. They want Turkey to be able to do whatever it wants. And Turkey is loving all of this political power it's got. I mean, you've got a guy there who's basically a dictator, and he is using his position to hold Europe by the short and curlies to do whatever they want. It might as well just be claimed as Turkey. The Middle Ages are back, Alex. It is all Turkey now.
The Ottoman Empire, and the UN thinks they can control 1.8 billion Muslims, set to be 3 billion.
Right.
They average like six kids on average in just 11 years. And they are preparing to use the autocratic central system of Islam, merge with a communist corporate fascist system to control the entire planet. This is just unbelievable evil.
It is. Well, and you know as well as I do that it's going to result in very dangerous things. It's going to we don't want violence, but it's going to result in violence. That's what we're fighting against.
I'm not living under godless Sharia law with a bunch of leftist minders running around with their machine guns pissing on us, because they're all over the news. They're all over Yahoo. This morning, hundreds of comments I read saying we want to kill Alex Jones. We can't wait to put him in a torture camp. All these people that can't even work a job are fantasizing how they're going to be the guards. They'll never be the guards, but they're going to bring that in. And I want to assure them. I want to assure them this is America. This is Sparta. And there are still people like that left, and you will pay when you make that move. We're ready. We're trying to fix things peacefully. But all you fantasizing, it's like when left gets up and screams at me in a restaurant, and then I get scream at them, and then they finally leave. It's like, hey, I'm not going to run from you. This isn't some video game fantasy land. You understand that?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, there was a very famous Twitter exchange a few years ago where they're literally saying, what will you do when the Red Army takes over and we institute full Islamist communism? And they're all morons. They think, oh, well, I'm going to be in uniform procurement. I'll be a psychologist treating former capitalists who had PTSD in the gulags. This is what these people actually think. No, they're going to be the first to be crushed under the boot of the totalitarian regime they're bringing in.
By the way, pull up Larry Grathwall, Green Beret, that infiltrated the Weatherman. It all came out in court. You think that this is just the Weatherman 40 years ago who Obama sat at their knee? This is the mindset of Antifa. We've infiltrated. We've recorded them. We've played it. They fantasize about some weird 1917 Red Army takeover of America and how they're literally going to rape and kill our wives and piss on us and make us work in forced labor camps. No, meth heads, you're going to pay.
I mean, they're the useful idiots. That's what this comes down to. And they don't even realize it. They are the useful idiots of the globalists. And they're going to be the first after we go down. If they're successful, they're going to be next.
We're going to pull up Larry Grathwald talks about the Weatherman's plan to put 50 million Americans in camps and kill 25 million of us. And they're going to literally rape your wives and rape your children. They're all a bunch of pedophile devil worshipers. And they're all going straight to hell. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
A bomb exploded early this morning in the Pentagon, and left-wing terrorists telephoned newspapers to say they were responsible.
At midday, the Associated Press got a phone call from a man saying he was with the Weather Underground and that bombs would explode at the Departments of Interior and Agriculture and the Smithsonian before the day was out.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
Credit for the Capitol bombing was claimed in a letter received by the Associated Press today, signed by the Weather Underground.
The explosion destroyed one of the Pentagon's 140 women's restrooms and blasted out a wall on the fourth floor.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Larry Grathwald died a few years ago. He had his daughter on. He was a highly decorated Green Beret in Vietnam, going to Bainline College. They tried to recruit him. This was the Weatherman. They said, we're going to put 50 million people in camps, mainly white conservative men. We're going to kill them, and we're going to put their families in forced labor. That came out in federal court. Well, now you can go to Yahoo today in an article against me, and I mean a third of the comments. I read hundreds of them. There's like 2,500 comments that I saw this morning. I couldn't read them all, but I mean I read a few hundred, and it was like, we're going to kill him, we're going to put him in a forced camp, I can't wait for the communist takeover. This is what they're teaching at the colleges. Antifa is mainline. That's why mainstream media promotion is good. And so Tom Pepper, you were talking about a few years ago, I remember seeing this, it went viral, leftists fantasizing about, well, repeat what they were saying they were going to do.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. It's either on Twitter or Tumblr, and we've posted it here recently on my Facebook page. But what they're saying is, the first guy says, so what are you going to do when the communists take over and we finally win? And somebody says, oh, great question. I'm going to be in uniform design and procurement for the Red Army. And another guy comes in and says, that's a fascinating thought. I think I will treat capitalists who have PTSD in the gulags. That's what I'm going to do. And it goes on like this for four or five posts. These people are absolutely delusional. They're going to be, if they're lucky, a dirt farmer somewhere struggling to exist.
And I remember it. I remember it because it was real people. They're in this article I saw today in the comments fantasizing about the same stuff.
Right. No, this is a real thing. These people are so deluded. This is, you know, this would be like if you and I are sitting there, well, when we get back to 1776, I'm going to open a plantation. I mean, that's nuts. That's not realistic, but that's what these people
are. It's not even what the world is today with just-on-time delivery and all these systems. You destabilize it, it'll fall apart. If we don't have 2.2 children, all the algorithms show we're going to have societal collapse already, and the globalists are already gearing it for a civilizational collapse, which they're going to be separate from in armored cities they're already building. And these idiots don't know the plan is to remove all them. That's at the academic level. They believe they're bringing in a communist revolution. The globalists have literally set them up to destabilize and bring down a pro-human civilization.
That's exactly right. And we all know that the globalists will be taken care of. They've got the black helicopters. They're going to go to their little, as you say, the fortified cities. It's these moronic communists who, if they start a civil war, and God hope we don't get there. You and I are fighting every single day of our lives to avoid that. But if we get there and they win, they're the next to go.
By the way, this isn't hyperbole. I first reported this 12, 13 years ago now when I was meeting with a major producer in Hollywood. And he had just been meeting with James Cameron. And James Cameron was basically saying, I don't even care about movies anymore. I'm not going to try to put out hologram movie theaters like I was. I'm moving to New Zealand. I've got these ships that I claim are looking for wrecks, but that's just the tax write-off. That's in case even New Zealand falls. I've got my own fleet. Right. There's a nuclear war, a bioweapons release, because he's been told, get ready for that. It's coming, this extinction event. Well, now that's mainstream news that they're all running to New Zealand, Kauai, Hawaii, and Tasmania, Australia. That's in New York Times, Washington Post. This is real, folks. They're trying to gear a worldwide collapse from which we basically kill ourselves, and then they return. It's psychotic. Really, they built a system that's not sustainable, that's going to collapse. So they've just tried to Svengali it and then claim they really manage the whole thing.
Right. No, that's exactly right. This is their solution. And it's all around the world. They have these little bug-out zones. Iceland is one of them. Switzerland is one of them. These isolated areas where, for some reason, they don't have multiculturalism and all of these immigrants who come from completely antithetical cultures. They don't have all of these high taxes and insane policies that we have here in the West, but they're in the West. It is because that's where Kim Jong-un goes to school. That's where all of these great families, the Rockefellers, go to school.
They jump in back and forth. That's what globalism is. It's corporate crony capitalism using communism and fascism. This is all in Carol Quigley's book, Bill Clinton's Mentor, 1,100 pages. We sell it, TragedyandHopeInfoWarsStore.com. Go read it, folks. It's written by them, head of Georgetown Political Science. And they set up the communist dictatorships, use all the slave labor. The generals all become billionaires. Westerners that put them in power become billionaires, have total control, use all the slave goods to leverage out and take over the West industry as well in economic warfare. And then they're offshore, based in Ireland mainly, and are totally tax exempt and all pay zero while they lobby for you, the middle class, making it $60,000, $70,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year, that you're rich, not paying your fair share at 40% federal alone, on average paying 65% in taxes, most of which is siphoned off to Warren Buffett, who got in one bailout $487 million for his own company. Type in Warren Buffett, biggest recipient of 2008 bailout, while he lectures you that there should be higher tax and he's not paying enough when he got the laws written where he basically pays no tax.
And he says he's willing to pay more tax. Yeah, prove it, buddy. The IRS has a donation window. Go ahead and chuck all your money in there. It'll be great.
Oh, it's all a stunt. He's a total eugenicist predator.
Absolutely. No, you're totally right. And for people who don't believe this, this is already happening around the world, as you well know. I mean, look at South America, where it's on a micro scale. The people, the top 1% of these failed countries down there that have totally fallen to communism, they're still living great. They've still got food. They've got palatial estates with guards and fenced off. And
oh, the jets fly in the caviar.
Right. That's exactly right. Meanwhile, everyone else, they've already eaten the zoo animals. They don't know what else to eat. They're sifting through the garbage, hoping to find a rat so they can have dinner.
They ate the zoo animals 6 years ago in
Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela. And then now thousands are dying a week from starvation. But don't worry, the government made a law saying you can't report it.
That's right. That's right. There's a law saying you can't report it. And here in the West, the number one thing is, well, that's not real communism. That's state capitalism. It's different.
And let me give you, Tom Papert, the last piece of the equation that you obviously already know, but the audience knows this too. But we got to warn people. Then they send in Bernie Sanders, allow him to swindle and take over universities and implode them. Huge million-dollar houses everywhere, $118,000 cars, caviar, private jets, but he'll do photo ops, flying coach. I mean, this is a criminal, conscious slug, a predator with just hate for you and your family. Went to have his honeymoon in the Soviet Union where he could literally go and visit gulags and piss on Christians. And I mean, this is a monster who has will to destroy you. They then sent him in with Elizabeth Warren, all this other scum, and Buttigieg to promise you all this free stuff while the globalists are offshore tax exempt. And then you vote for free stuff. It implodes everything. You get nothing and they never even know what hit you. He runs to Switzerland.
That's exactly right. No, you nailed it right there. And they're trying to do this worldwide, again, except for their special isolated zones that are totally immune to all of this. They don't have any of this coming up. But that is exactly the plan. They want to destroy America so they can rebuild it in their own image, which is essentially hell.
And let's be clear, Kim Jong-il, all of them, they send their kids to the finest places in Switzerland. They jet out and live in the richest areas. They're not even in their country half the time. And they enjoy strutting by and seeing starving people that are literally living on 600 calories a day. There's no birds. There's no bugs. Everything's been eaten. And they could live off the incredible wealth of setting people free, but they don't care. They want to see them starving and begging with the satanic energy sucking off of them. Meanwhile, South Korea got a little bit of freedom, richest country per capita in the world, total wealth, less physical resources. But you see, the real resource of the Satanist is draining the spiritual energy and the pain of the Korean people. That's the feast. North Korea is a rich kingdom of vampires.
There was one of the big Democrats, Ed Buck. He actually, one of his accusers said, when he was being allegedly drugged, raped, all the stuff Ed Buck does to these people, massive friend of the Clintons, he actually said that Ed Buck feeds off the energy of sucking black people dry. That's what the accuser said. It's exactly what you're
talking about. He would come and make them overdose and make them have, well, he's been arrested over and over again. Right. I mean, a bunch of people die at his house.
They die at his apartment, and then he drags them outside.
There's something about black people, and I'm not a Satanist, so I don't know it, but like the Rolling Stones just came out, sacrificed a black kid at their house in New York. It's very hard to find it, but it was in the 70s. Dead kid at their house. Yeah, they've really tried to expunge it. But the point is that, yeah, there's a favorite of Satanists is killing black kids, and they like to kill all kids.
Right.
And little girls especially. But they love to kill black kids and drink their blood.
That's exactly right. And it's all admitted now. This is the crazy thing. Another example of where Alex Jones has been proven right. This is something that was totally out of left field, I thought, when you first said it 5 or 6 years ago. And then you read Ed Buck's accuser saying, yes, he would drug me. He would suck my energy out. He wants to watch me die. That's what makes him happy. That's what the accuser says.
That's Clinton's top donor. Yeah, all the people die at his house. Yes, that's what he does. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, the Buck, one of the top bundlers of the Clintons. We'll get to him in a moment. And the victims, was it 2-3 deaths in his house now? But those that survived said he would tell them, I'm draining your energy. There's big civil suits. I know the police have raided his house. I was going from memory. He hasn't been arrested. They've been calling for it. We'll get to that in a moment. But here's Larry Grathwald. The interview's on YouTube. It's like an hour long. Talking about inside the Weatherman, when he's sitting there with the top people that advise Obama, how they're going to put 50 million of us in camps, how 25 million of us have to die. Here it is.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. The reply was establishing re-education centers in the Southwest. I asked, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? The reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
And then I was on Yahoo this morning, and I'm going to do a special report on this just to show it all. And I spent like 20, 30 minutes scanning, because it was like a third of the comments are, we want to get him in a camp. I can't wait to torture him to death. Once we take over, we're going to kill them all. And then people are like, oh, yes, oh, yes. You're not going to do jack crap. You understand, I don't need to feel like a man to tell you that I can kill your ass if I want to, if you try to kill me. I want you to wake up and come out of your sickness. But they're satanic. They get off on killing babies. They want to kill babies after they're born. They're harvesting their organs. I told everybody this. Now 7 states have passed laws to keep them alive and do it. I had a nurse in my house a few months ago, an RN. I'm going to leave it at that. It was a friend of the family. Let's just say distant family of family. And I was bringing this up to her, and she goes, actually, I know about that in the wing next door. They put them in oxygen tents, but I said, but they're live babies, right? And she's like, well, yeah, but I said, yeah. So if the doctor says they're going to resuscitate at birth, they say it's a living baby. But if they don't resuscitate, it's still alive. It's legalese. They keep it alive and kill it. And she started shaking. Okay, and almost pissed on herself because it was someone. See the Stockholm Syndrome? You're involved, and no, next door they're keeping babies alive and killing them. And she said adults, too. She said, yeah, and people that have been in car wrecks and stuff. And I said, and some of them aren't brain dead, are they? And she starts shaking because these people by increment have become part of the crime. And then they're in the middle of it, and then when they're confronted with it and have that conscious thought, they don't know what to do. So the governor has to come out and go, we keep baby after they born alive, and we keep them comfortable. Well, why are you keeping them comfortable? Because they're harvesting them.
Well, and you notice, I mean, going back to that Ralph Northam that I helped break, that was totally amazing insanity that we were seeing coming out of that horrible, horrible man. But what was interesting that he said, he did not use the word doctor once in that interview. It's a provider. I mean, they dress it up in such colorful language, and what it does is it hides the lie. It's exactly what you're talking about. It's their big, beautiful lie.
They're not baby killers. They're not killing babies already born. They're providers.
Yeah, they're providing for the world. They're providing for the mother. They're providing for the dead baby. But what he's talking about, fundamentally, I don't like to dress it up. They pull the baby out of the uterus. They keep it alive right up until the point where they shove an ice pick in its brain at the base of its skull and kill it. That's what this is.
And there's more people wanting to adopt each year than there are abortions.
Right.
Meanwhile, Buttigieg says Christians hate babies. No, it's Christians that adopt all the babies. It's Christians that built the damn country, you little weak chicken neck traitor.
Well, you've got Buttigieg saying that. Then you have Bernie saying to kill brown babies. I mean, this is what these people are like.
Why do you think they're totally coming out of the closet now with their Satanism, their anti-human garbage?
Honestly, Alex, you're part of the reason. You're part of the reason this whole big populist movement is part of the reason, because people are calling them on their crap. And when that happens, they have two choices. One, they can either deny it, or two, they can normalize it.
So what's coming next? Because I want to get into how you see this unfolding. Do you agree with me that we're at a major crossroads right now?
Absolutely. And we are at that major crossroads, and it totally depends. I mean, I love President Trump. I think he's doing wonderful things, but he needs to double down on the road that he is traveling and not be led astray by family members, by whatever it is, because that's what it comes down to. We can either continue down this road and we can unleash a new era of American prosperity, or as many, many empires have throughout history, we can fall and be exterminated.
And the globalists admit they know that, and the CFR, that's the Internationalist Literal British Empire Traders, and I'm not blaming the British. It's the same governing globalist empire corporate system that used the UK's power to take over much of the world. It is now saying the American century's over, the Chi-Com century's here, and they're trying to get America to commit suicide, and Trump is saying no, we're saying no. And so, yes, Trump's light years better than Hillary, and we're glad he's there, but we're 2 days in to the Washington Post article that he's looking at red flag computers using iPhones and Apple Watches and droids and home assistants that are already listening to you to tell if they think you're suicidal or going to hurt somebody by little micro things of your voice and things. No judge, no jury, no due process. Your guns are then taken and many other things. When we come back, they're not just promoting in the news that all your home assistants are listening to you and that courts are indeed coming in and using, going and saying, give us a month, give us a year, and it's all recorded. Of course it is. And humans are listening to it at the companies. Now they're doing it to video games. Now, oh, that's right. You didn't know the video games are all recorded? You did. Oh, we're going to cover that when we come back. What you're saying during video games, what you're doing on the phone, everything's been recorded for at least 10 years. That's all of it saved.
Well, and it's no surprise. I mean, what you see them doing with video games now, they ban your language in real time as you say it. So if you say a naughty word that you're not allowed to say, definitely not on broadcast, but not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on
Instagram. The AI stops it before it goes out.
That's exactly right. And you get permanently banned.
The chains are on, folks. And now they want to announce it to you that they're on.
Right.
But they go, oh, they might struggle if we let them know. They're like, it doesn't matter. Let them know. We've chained them.
Well, that, it's all for our greater good. It's all because we need to do this to stop the next mass shooter. We will monitor the video games. We will monitor your home. We'll listen. We'll have the Alexa listening to you sleep. And if your heart starts beating too fast, we'll have a pharmaceutical guy come on in and give you whatever drug you need. This is all in the white papers. It's all on nationalfile.com. It's all on Infowars.com. They want us to know this. They are normalizing. And it's the same reason 3 years ago we had stories of people saying they're not a monster. They're a pedophile, and they're a virtuous pedophile. And now they have a word called MAP, which is something along the lines of a pedophile that is a minor attracted person. They're trying to get us used to this stuff, so when it all comes out, we will accept it. And that's exactly
they're teaching us not to stand up for ourselves, for the rise of the cyborg takeover and the post-human world, and they're announcing it, and they're telling it to us, and that's all that matters, folks, is you take hold of your humanity and God and your family, and you stand against it, and you let them know that you're aware of what they're doing, and you raise the alarm, and they will be defeated. But it's going to be a long, hard fight, just as the Bible tells us. But in the end, we will prevail, ladies and gentlemen. We will stop the pedophile armies together. We will stop all the followers that signed on to Satanism, believing they would be given power in the earth when all they're going to be given is enslavement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back to one more segment with Tom Papert. Then Owen Schroyer has got incredible breaking news and amazing stuff that we're going to break down. Talk about the design collapse of society. He's got it all videoed and documented. He'll be on with us 45 after till 15 into the next hour. Then Will Johnson's got huge breaking news and big developments. He'll be in studio visiting with us. And again, you want to join us for that. And Dr. Nick Baggage as well is coming up. And I believe Carpe Donctum's got some announcements as well from MemeWorld.com. MemeWorld.com is another great site I love visiting. Remember, the only way it gets out is when you promote it, just like Summit.News and just like NationalFile.com. I'm Alex Jones, and I'm with InfoWars.com.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
One of the main cost of entry into the world government, the anti-human system, is that you hate InfoWars and despise yours truly. And I am extremely proud of that. I'm probably more proud of that than really anything other than my children. And I'm very thankful for that, to have the enemy of humanity, to have the godforsaken satanic globalist say that my name is verboten and that my website is verboten and that I'm the most hated enemy, even more than Trump, is a real blessing. And it's because we have these sickening demons number, and we're calling them out, and we're not scared of them, and they can't stand that. I'm only scared of what I want to do to them that would keep me from my larger mission of being peaceful and awakening folks. But watching these snakes slither around and feed on children and others, it's very hard to watch, but I'll sit back and watch it, and then I'll do everything I can to stop them. Now, you can type in anywhere. Home assistants are listening to you, recording everything for years, and giving it to the police. And, of course, you see where Amazon and you see where Google and all these companies just turn everything over. You go, oh, that sounds great, except it's total dragnets and everything's being recorded. And they tried to deny this years ago, but I showed you the terms of service for Samsung TVs and iPhones and everything. And so now, here it is. States to launch Google, Facebook antitrust probes. We told you that that was coming. They met a few months ago in Omaha, Nebraska, and now they're moving. But that's too little, too late. Exclusive. This is from Forbes. Oh, it's exclusive. Feds order Apple and Google to hand over the names of 10,000 users of a gun scope app. Because it turns out that the Apple app and the Google app, it's on both, recorded everything you ever did on it when you aimed the rifle scope app at a deer or a building or your girlfriend joking. It all was recorded, and now they're going to put your name and your internet ID. Why not? I mean, Apple's already based in China and gives them all the code keys to your every device. Yeah, Chinese government is in your phone. You worry about Apple hacks? Apple is the Chi-Com. So here it is. Own a rifle? Got a scope? To go with it, the government might soon know who you are, where you live, and how to reach you. That's because Apple and Google have been ordered by the U.S. government to hand over the names, phone numbers, and other identifying data to at least 10,000 users of a single gun scope app. Forbes has discovered, in an unprecedented move, never before has a case been disclosed in which American investigators demanded personal data of users on a single app from Apple and Google, and never has the order been made public where the feds have asked the Silicon Valley giant, see, this is the coming out, for info on so many thousands of people. According to the court order filed the Department of Justice on September 5th, investigators want information on users of Obsidian 4, a tool used to control rifle scopes made by Night Vision Specialist American Technologies Network Corp. The app allows gun owners to get a live stream, take video, and calibrate their gun scope from the Android iPhone device, according to Google Play page Obsidian 4. It has been more than 10,000 downloads. Apple doesn't provide the download numbers. And it goes on to say it's a video recording over the app in their database of everything you videotaped. So everyone that has the app, everyone that ever uploaded with it, it's all been given with all your personal data to the feds. You like that? And they've got a decade at least of everything recorded. Everything. Not just samples. And they switch on your phone when you're sitting there playing with your winky dink, or you're having sex with your wife, or you're doing business deals. It's all been recorded, and text files have been made that are searchable, and they've got all this power and all this criminality and all this stuff. They built it by design, and now they're about to roll it out for you. They're about to tell the schmucks about it. Who warned you 20 years ago? I told you specifically how it worked because NSA whistleblowers came to me. Engineers, guys worth millions of dollars who had built the damn stuff. It's all funny now, isn't it, huh? It's all cutesy-footsy. And you know what they use all these apps for? To protect the kidnapped children, to protect themselves from getting caught. It's all about watching you, and only the evil child molesters and devil worshipers are going to give them full access to all this so they can have a heads up on all of us. And basically, they believe have invincibility to carry out their criminal ops against you. You going to do anything? You going to speak out against it? Or are you going to get scared and suck your thumb? Hell, a lot of people will probably join with it. A lot of folks are cowards. They think, well, I'll just join with it. I'll be safe. No, you'll be destroyed. Because this craziness is going to run until billions are dead. And we're going to have to worship the robots. That's all in the Bible. And they're all announcing they're going to have more rights than us and the cyborgs. And they're all going to say they're gods. And it's all a big delusion. And then it's all going to fall in 1 hour. Just like a computer would. It's going to go. And then billions are going to starve to death. And then any globalists hiding in their underground bases are going to be dug out of their holes. All of this will happen before this generation's dead. Watch it happen. Tom Papert.
You're exactly right. And it's one of the most terrifying things to think about, Alex, is how many people are just going along with this. This morning I saw a headline, I'm not even sure where it was from, saying that the first ever instance of a robot hiring a human has just happened, as a robot with AI did a bunch of interviews and hired somebody. And there's so many people out there who think, you can't stop this. This is the future. This is wonderful. Let's just sign on for it. This is great. Well, the government, this is something that I get far too often. The government already has my info. Who cares? Let them have more. Take the tape off my laptop. Let them listen to me on my phone. Let them know what exactly I'm watching on TV and what I'm saying to my wife. It doesn't matter. They already know I give up. And it's the most sickening attitude that I've seen in my life.
And what it is Stockholm Syndrome. Why don't you show on your Facebook when you're going out of town what your address is and what you got? Because thieves use it to rob you. The predatory system is building a post-human world. You're building your own destruction. They say it's being built to make you obsolete and extinct humans by this generation. NBC News, the plan is to kill you. They're already killing your fertility. They're already lowering your IQ so you can't fight.
Yep, that's exactly right.
But let me tell you, if you're aware of this, and ask God for guidance, literally God comes in and it boosts your IQ. You don't have to be possessed by a demon and want to rape kids and think, wow, this is amazing. You can actually have God come into you. You want that? You Satanists don't understand anything and how powerful God is. You couldn't even handle it. Believe me.
You're absolutely right. And that is the one saving grace, literally saving grace of our society, is that we have good people who are fighters. Metaphorical, metaphysical fighters who are on the side of good. The Satanists, they don't have that. They have useful idiots. That's what they have.
They have zombie slaves.
That's what it comes down to. And meanwhile, I mean, they are so afraid. That's why, again, they've been normalizing everything. That's why we've had 5 years of, oh, how come there's an ad? I just mentioned that when I was changing clothes yesterday, and all of a sudden it's on my phone. That's why they've been rolling this out slowly, because they know that their goose is cooked. Metaphorically, and it's only a matter of time until everybody is awake. Like
2 weeks ago, I said, watch in the room. I said, let's talk about Fantasy Island. And then a few days later, everybody goes, yeah, Fantasy Island popped up in my Yahoo feed, my Google feed on YouTube. I've never even talked about that in my life. And I'm like, yeah, look, it's all Fantasy Island.
I was talking about,
because we had a conversation about Fantasy Island.
Right.
Today I was hiking with my wife and I said, watch. Okay. And the phone was off. And I said, watch, I'm going to say racist stuff. And you watch while we're hiking, the phone is going to go bloop and turn on. And I started saying it as a test. And she goes, oh, my God, it turned on. It was going bloop, and it was sending data. It was recording. and you're like, wait, if it's, again, folks, it's incredible. I did that as a test.
Right.
I showed her, and she was like, oh, my God.
No, you're exactly right. I was meeting with business partners this last weekend, and I made the Marty Robbins quote, communism, socialism, call it what you like. There's very little difference in the two. I go to YouTube. Some of the guys had never heard it. Some of them are business partners, and they never heard it. So I go to YouTube. It's right there, the top search result. I've never listened to that song on a laptop before, but there it is. I mean, it's so obvious and on the nose what they're doing, but yet there's this little tiny paper thin and growing thinner by the day layer of them pretending that it's not happening. But again, we saw the document from HARPA where they say, we're going to use your Fitbit. We're going to use your Alexa.
They admit they're doing it. The head of the CIA 8 years ago.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes they can cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all, and a heart I said, you can bet your life. Stakes are high.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. We've got the host of The War Room, Owen Schroyer, weekdays 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central. He's here with us riding shotgun into the next hour, and Will Johnson's going to be in studio with us as well. A lot of key things will be announced when he's on with us. But let me hit this right now, Owen. I haven't really gotten into the Second Amendment stuff enough. I mean, I've been covering it some. But look at these headlines. Red flag laws spur debate on due process. And they've got all these AP, Reuters, Politico, like, yeah, 7 states have passed the laws and another, 10 states are about to pass it and a whole bunch of other things have happened and everything. And, yeah, we didn't really need due process anymore. And, yeah, you don't even really make a threat. We just take your guns. It's just incredible how this is happening. And then I have this article out of Associated Press. that was right next to another article about me today on the front page that was total disinfo, that I'd lost an appeal in the Sandy Hook thing. No, the Austin judge just gave a one-sentence ruling. We appealed it that we were going to challenge the lawsuit, and the Texas court said, well, we're passing that back down to the judge because we don't have any jurisdiction. The judge didn't create a ruling. He didn't have a hearing because this judge is an admitted leftist who wants to crucify me, and here in Austin's is leftist to San Francisco, and he is openly saying all of this. So it wasn't a defeat. Their little fake trials they want to have are years away, but they ran nationally that I lost Sandy Hook. Now, it wasn't as bad as AP a few months ago when they said that I wrote a book called No One Died at Sandy Hook and that I lost a suit for millions of dollars. I never wrote that book. Professor Fetzer did. I never interviewed Fetzer on the book. I'm not in the book, I later found out. And I had lawyers contact AP and they said, we don't care. Or the Wall Street Journal, they also ran it. They said, we don't care. Sue us, because these big trillion-dollar corporations that own them don't care. They want to lie with impunity and create the illusion that we're all losing. Let me tell you what's happening. States politicians back gunmaker in Sandy Hook appeal, AP. The same law firm suing me that's run by Senator Blumenthal. The same group spending millions and millions and millions to try to bankrupt us. The same group that lied and said I sent child porn to the Sandy Hook families. That's the group who sued Remington, our oldest firearm maker, into bankruptcy. Because Remington had corporate lawyers. You know, Koskov and Koskov spends $5 million on, I spend $200,000 fighting them. But Remington's lawyers, the word is something like $100 million or something in a five-year battle with these guys. Oh, yeah. I mean, this Koskov and Koskov is the devil incarnate. I mean, they're trying to get rid of the First Amendment and the Second. And if the Supreme Court rules, because they've had the rigged courts in Connecticut rule, that Remington is liable if someone uses their gun illegally. Think of the liability if someone uses a car illegally or a baseball bat illegally. If you think lawyers have already wrecked America and already bankrupted us, we can't do business. And the Supreme Court's hearing it right now, and the same law firm that sends 5 to 10 lawyers to every hearing is saying all of this. That's who we're up against. That's who we're fighting. That's who we're dealing with. So I'm not a victim. I'm a warrior for myself and my family and you, and I'm fighting these people, and we're exposing them. That's why you got to fight harder and spread the word. And pray and buy our products, because when you do that, we can stand against these people and they'll never be able to silence me. You know, they've got one of these lawyers that's a former state attorney that put the governor in prison in Connecticut. And what they keep trying to do is claim that I'm covering up evidence and doing all this crazy crap. And the judge sits there in the case and goes, we know you made money off Sandy Hook. Give us all your secret documents. They don't exist. The judge says, I'm throwing your case out. I'm going to go to summary judgment. I know it's true what these dirty Hillary people say. I mean, it's just sick. But you've been watching and listening. It's them that live off Sandy Hook. It's them that talk about it constantly and sue Remington out of existence and letting thousands of people lose their jobs in Connecticut. They're the bloodsuckers. They're the Democrats. They're the big fat party of the perverts. And they want to put me in prison. They know they're going to lose. This is the Supreme Court. It'll go on for years, rigged courts. It'll die in the Supreme Court. Because if they let you sue Remington and say they're responsible if someone does something illegally with it, well, then if I go buy a butcher knife and kill somebody, Ginsu Knives is liable. But they run thousands of articles a day right now. It's in newspapers all over Texas, all over the nation, that I lost a lawsuit. You go, why would they do that? because it creates the illusion that I'm a loser and I'm guilty. Well, you know what? I am guilty of beating Hillary politically, and so are you. And I'm guilty of loving God and loving America. And I'm guilty of standing against these people and never submitting. And I've never been stronger. Join God, folks. Don't be afraid of evil and ask God for guidance and ask God for the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you will experience enlightenment and discernment. And I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, what the Bible talks about gifts, all of your gifts, your powers will increase until it's I used to drink because I can't handle it. But you know what? I don't drink any anymore, nothing. And I'm telling you, it's explosive. These people, you can see how shut off they are, how possessed they are, how they're slaves. Blumenthal, these people are literally husk. They're not even human. They're just, I mean, they're not. They simulate human activity because they're of their father, the devil. The Clintons, all of them, look at them. Thank God you're not with them. I'm ready to die for Christ. I'm not scared of Blumenthal. I'm not scared of Hillary. I'm not scared of Obama. I'm scared of not being with God. You know, God always provides just what we need. I'd like to have a bigger war chest to really expand. Go get our products. 50% off right now when you get Brain Force with our new Chill Force that isn't a depressant. It energizes and makes you have clear, more zen energy is what I would call it. Should have called it zen energy. It's just, and I'm taking it right now. Turbo Force with the Zen Force, with the Chill Force. 50% off together, 40% off Chill Force by itself, and that funds the total commitment and our will with God in our sails, punching through the enemy. Yeah, you can feel it. Yeah, you devil worshippers will pay. Yeah, I'm not afraid of you. God destroys you. And they can feel it. Oh, and tell us what's coming up next hour.
Well, there's a lot coming up, Alex. You're fired up today, and it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you when you're in a good spirits and a good mode like this.
You're in good spirits.
It's right there.
We're winning, brother.
Well, I completely understand pretty much almost everything you said there, so I'm glad that you just finished off that rant. But you know what? I'll just say this. A lot of times, you know, you may seem erratic to the audience. I may seem erratic. But you got to understand, when you're dealing with this stuff and when you see this, I mean, it's beyond corruption. I mean, these people are outright
liars.
You really can't believe it. So we're not in a comfort zone. And I was saying this the other day. As soon as you get in a comfort zone, this is a revolutionary war. As soon as you're comfortable, you lose the revolution. The revolution dies. So we have to have total victory in this revolution before we can ever get comfortable. So we're not going to be comfortable like some other people out there just because Trump is in office and the ratings are up at, you know, the conservative news networks.
We don't want to be delusional winners and believe in a fantasy land we're winning right now, like the left doing fake articles. They're winning. They're losing, but they've got to lose completely.
And so here's a loss that we're dealing with on a local level, Alex, and this is what we're going to get into on the next level. I am single-handedly witnessing Austin, Texas, go from when I got here just over 3 years ago, a great metropolis.
A paradise.
A beautiful city. Really beautiful city. Some infrastructure problems, but that's because it's a booming city. But as far as, you know, cleanliness and downtown and the skyline and all the activities, great town.
Now Austin's like a rundown gas station bathroom.
Overnight, Austin, Texas, really since the ordinance was amended July 1st, but it's really happened overnight in the last 2 weeks. Austin, Texas has become the hellhole from all the videos you see coming out of San Francisco.
But driving around, it's like they're parachuting in demonic meth head, heroin heads, and giggling. You'll walk by them, they're going, and giggling.
No,
your family,
I shot a
while
video.
Spraying feces out, and the left's just celebrating, just satanically.
There's a guy, I shot a video of this guy. He stands on the side of a road in a purge mask, and he dances. You feel like you're in the purge walking around.
Oh, yeah, there's all these lunatic Satanists just running around. You think there we're joking, it's all coming up.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
On fire for liberty! Just since I went on a few hours ago, I went to InfoWars.com to see what had broken. Next segment, I'll hit some of this, but here's just one of the headlines. Students prevented from attending UK school because they refused to wear gender-neutral uniforms. Paul Joseph Watson article. Teens who don't date have better social skills, feel better. Spanish city pushes dog tax. New York's going to tax people for riding bikes because communists are such killjoys. We're also going to get into all these other articles here where one of the biggest ones here is, in fact, I'm going to cover this later after Owen leaves us. Fires did not cause WTC-7 collapse. New study finds. Really? I only talked to the cops who heard the government countdown to blow it up. Only interviewed the head of emergency management before he died a week later, saying there were bombs in the building. Owen, though, some stations don't carry this 5 minutes, but we were talking about the celebration of pooping, and now it's a sacrament of the left. They're now saying it's racist to stop public pooping in Seattle. Here's a new one. Portland cops say it's illegal. I had a Freudian slip. Cops say it's legal for homeless to defecate in public and that it's a human right. And I have TV shows, city council members in Portland saying it's fun and it's part of what Portlanders do. And so this isn't a joke. This is a way to implode. We'll talk about why they're doing it. It's a plan. The way the leftists took over the city from L.A. and collapsed it in the last just few years. You've only been here 3 years. You've watched it.
Well, that's what's really sad about this is when I got here just over 3 years ago, the only real problems that the city had was some infrastructure problems because it's such a expanding metropolitan area, a lot of big tech and stuff moving in here. So a lot of population density, infrastructure was kind of struggling with that. But as far as, you know, feces on the streets, tent cities being set up, aggressive drug addict, homeless people on the streets everywhere running the town, wasn't really an issue. That was all concentrated around an area called the Arch, pretty much kept to a couple blocks up there. Well, it was pretty much kind of stabilized in that sort of issue sector. Like, it wasn't a big issue. And then the city council decided to amend a city ordinance in July saying it's now legal to camp out on the city sidewalk, poop on a city sidewalk, sleep on a city sidewalk.
Including people's houses.
Anything you want to do. It's all good now.
In front of businesses, restaurants.
And so, you know,
you'll just pull up at the restaurant and there's just eight people laughing at you, shooting up heroin, pooping everywhere.
And so this is going on, but it seemingly happened overnight. And in fact,
understand it's a spiritual invasion force, though. The left doesn't just cater to it, make money off of it, and skim the cash. This is these higher level demons, like, don't materialize until their gremlin force is there. So it's like for each major demon possession that happens, I think they have to have a certain number of gremlins, humans to carry lower servant demons. So I think that's why the left brings all this in and celebrates it, is to get the servant demons into position so then they can bring in a heavy hitter.
Yeah, and it's kind of a...
By the way, I'm not kidding.
No, well, it's kind of a psychological tactic, and to kind of bring that to a more smaller level, it's kind of like a drag queen story time where, even though I'm a man, if I get you to say I'm a woman, I've defeated you.
And you don't have to creep around at parks anymore and go, kid, come here. Now you're worshipped as a pedo.
It's like, yeah, if I can just say the city's wide open, you can go crap on the streets, we're not even going to clean it up. That's just a victory over you as a good
person. Exactly. It's just like the samurai in Japan. If they conquered you, sometimes would piss on you. They're pissing on us.
Should feel bad. You're not allowed to live in a civilization. We don't live in high society. This is not an advanced civilization. No. We live in a third world country now. You see, you've been defeated.
Because they're getting you ready for the real third world invasion.
Because that's
so this capital. Is the normalization claiming it's exactly. So now you've gone from the temporal level and we look to the spiritual level of it.
But getting back to what we're dealing with here in Austin, so it was like almost overnight, Alex. I took a vacation 3 weeks ago. I was out for a week. And actually, Savannah Hernandez was in Hong Kong. And we were talking about how we both kind of got back at the same time. And it was just literally in a
week. It's doubled. No, there's now people running around in clown masks. I was not trying to see it this morning. And it's like drug addict zombies everywhere. Three times I saw half-naked people in underwear with crap running down their legs, bombed out of their brain, just the way to work.
Sounds like an average day in Austin.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Beautiful, pretty things, happy people. But instead, we're told to worship homeless. And these aren't the old-fashioned hobos or mentally ill people. That's maybe 10% of them. It's aggressive drug addicts. They're called campers by the city of Austin. And most of them are white. And a lot of them are really old. It's kind of like retirees. They all just lay out on lawn chairs right in front of your house, neighborhoods, restaurants, And they just lay out and shoot heroin up and crap everywhere. They also kidnap dogs out of your backyard. They're always caught. And then, because people always find their dogs later, they chain them up to get more money. People are running around wearing purge masks. They're waving Mexican flags. It's bizarre. And there's all these little weird tribes. They call them drag rats. They run around robbing people, raping people, killing people. UT has told Austin they're going to arrest these people. Austin's battling UT. I have articles. Portland cops say it's legal for homeless to defecate in public, part of their civil rights. That's on InfoWars.com with the local newscast. And again, they're saying cleaning it off in Seattle is a racist sign, even though most of the people doing it are white heroin heads, and that it reminds them of blacks being sprayed with water cannons during the civil rights movement, so they're not going to clean the poop or the needles now. Owen, you said it. It's an act of spiritual and cultural and political dominance that they literally flipped a switch. Recap all that. You said it so well.
Well, when you see it firsthand, it changes everything. I've seen this from, you know, a different perspective, not living in L.A., not living in San Francisco, not living in Seattle, but seeing it when you travel there briefly, seeing it on the news, seeing the videos. So you see the tent cities, you see the craziness, you see the drug addicts, you see the spiritual decay in these tent cities, in these sanctuary cities, in these Democrat-run, liberal, progressive cities. But now that it's come to Austin and you witness it firsthand, I mean, it's really a survival instinct, not only as a member of this city, but spiritually, you don't want to see this city decayed into this.
And these are deranged, sickening, evil people. Everyone kisses their ass. Now, I'll tell you. My cousin in Seattle got bitten by a homeless person. He was giving a 10. He worked for Microsoft, making $300,000 a year. He was giving a $10 bill. $10 bill. To a homeless person, another one bit him. He got a blood infection, had liver failure, and it took him a few years to die. But a homeless zombie killed my cousin.
And you're not allowed to say, oh, I don't want to live in a city like that. No, you see, you don't live in an advanced civilization, Alex. You don't live in a high technological civilization.
My first cousin was killed by a zombie.
No, because, see, again, you're not allowed to live in advanced civilization. You're not allowed to live in high society. No, you have to live in a third world dreg. Otherwise,
and we're going to go to your report in a moment, but you guys run B-roll, the woman stabbing the kid in the face and you know, the people biting each other now. I mean, this isn't just drugs. This is a demonic takeover.
You don't pay taxes to live in an advanced civilization. You don't pay taxes to have infrastructure and clean city streets, Alex. You live in a city and pay taxes so that homeless people can run it and poop and pee wherever they want. But the transition overnight in Austin, this is crazy, guys. If you pull up the story from Kellen McBreen. So I call Kellen McBreen yesterday. I'm driving around the town. 2 days ago, I file a report because the police are in one of these tent cities cleaning it up. So they're going around. They have these trailers. They're filling trailers with couches.
And I see them all the time by our office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they come and clean them out. So it's an annual thing. They come, clean them out, filling up trailers. So I'm filming it, reporting on it, because I've been covering this homelessness epidemic. The next day, this is yesterday, I'm driving around town, same area, and I call Kellen McBreen. I say, Kellen, we got to get a story on this. This is crazy. Just 24 hours ago, they cleaned up this area. It's literally back to a tent city. He goes out there, takes all these pictures of the exact areas where the cops just cleaned up. 24 hours, and they're right back set up on a tent city deal. I went back into the woods. They're playing this HD report we shot. I went back in the woods. Hundreds of yards of trash, miles back into the woods where these people go. Well, they used to go. Now they just do it in the middle of the streets.
And by the way, Austin has hundreds of miles of trails. The deepest forest ones now or back behind neighborhoods have, and these homeless people, the first time this happened, it was like 15 years ago, there were some cliffs like 100 feet tall. They threw big boulders, tried to kill me.
Yeah, oh, what I've got here, if you got down by the arch, which is where it's the worst, because that's the big facility they have to help these people and feed them and give them clothes, you'll go down there. If you go down there at the wrong time, you need a helmet just to walk around.
And no one tells people this when they invite high schools and colleges to come to Austin. Oh. Listen, folks, I'm a tough guy. There used to be a lot of great restaurants downtown. I will not go downtown anymore because of the zombie force.
No, Alex, it's worse than I ever imagined. I'm getting messages People are saying they're canceling field trips to the city. People are saying, like, yeah, they're not taking their wife out to dinner in the city. Nobody's going downtown anymore, man.
It's not just downtown. We're in a totally different part of Austin. And I can go 200 yards this way, 700 yards that way. And that's just what I know of. And the thing is, they're hateful and satanic. I mean, we could get with a live feed and go 500 yards right now. And you drive by and they go, and then the people that bring them drugs, you'll park right in the main road under the overpass blocking you and sell them drugs right in front of you. And there's some satanic blob. He drives a gold Ford pickup. I see him all the time. The office is selling drugs. He pulls up and delivers them the drugs because they all get welfare and city assistance. And then it all goes right to the drug dealer, big fat white dude, who pulls up and he doesn't even pull up on the curb. He just pulls up and sells them the drugs right there.
It's all entitled. They are entitled. And if you dare... if you dare infringe on whatever they believe they're entitled to, they get out of
control. And here's the one place, though. Tell them again. The city said you can't camp is the city hall. So you went down there and camped.
So, oh, geez. Oh, sorry. The crew is just showing images of these people. Yeah, Alex. So the thing is such a joke. I'm driving down the road, and there's a damn... this guy's having a damn cookout. He's got a Lazy Boy. He's got a TV set up. He's got a grill fired up. It's out of control. So I figured, fine. Why should I pay an exorbitant fee to rent a park or rent a recreation center or something like that? I'll just go set up and I'll have a party right in front of City Hall. I'm going to do it again. And by the way, guys, when we have the city cookout, guess what? You can go into City Hall and use their facilities. You don't have to crap on the street either. We'll just go.
They don't even want to do that. Exactly. I say, since the city says you can crap on the street, I say crap in the city council rooms. Right. Maybe we should go take a dump live at Alex, 3 minute communication.
I've done a lot of stuff for InfoWars.
Sounds like Gavin McGinnis.
I've done a lot of stuff for InfoWars. I've done a lot of stuff for Alex Jones. You think I should just drop trowel in the middle of city council and just pitch one?
No, I think that don't do that.
Just give him a number two, Alex.
No. We're not encouraging anybody to do that.
Alex, are you calling for a number two right now?
No.
Call for the number two?
No, let's not do it, Owen. Let's not do it. But I'm serious. I think we should find where all the city council members that voted for this, and I think we should encourage and go online, because the homeless are all on iPads and phones they're given, too. We should invite everybody and say we're going to have free barbecue at their house, and then we should give them money to camp in front of their houses. That's it. That's the operation.
We'll bring
the scum of the earth to their house.
We'll put a little circle on the street. We'll just spray paint a little circle. That'll be the...
We'll tell them the bathroom is defecating on the cars of the city council members.
Well, we don't want to... they might get upset about that, but if that's illegal still. If we just put a little circle in the street, we'll just call that the toilet. We'll just put a little circle in the street and say that's the bathroom right there. Co-ed, too.
Stay there. I want to play your four-minute report, and then riding the shotgun with us is Will Johnson, who's been here visiting with us. Very exciting things he's going to be covering as well. So we're going to get him in, and we're going to play your boil down. These all reports are up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. We should probably run out there during the break and ask one of the writers to kind of put a conflagration of all the stuff you've done the last week up there. And Savannah did a great job in front of city council. And the crazier part is when you go down there, Owen, there are the defenders of this screaming you down, saying, we're taking over.
Well, there were a couple that just didn't like us because we were the InfoWars, and they just don't like InfoWars at all. But most of the reaction I got was actually positive. People walking out saying, hey, thank you.
And that's the key. All over the country, people don't want this in San Francisco or Seattle, but the elites do it because there's a reason they're doing it. And it's an act of dominance to bring down civilization.
And yes, a lot of them, someone would walk by and ask because they didn't like my setup. Somebody walked by and go, oh, do you vote? And I was like, well, yeah, I vote. They probably want to do the whole thing. You don't vote, you can't talk. And a couple of the homeless people we were feeding, we had a cookout going with hot dogs and burgers, and we were feeding the homeless down there. A couple of the homeless said, oh, yeah, I vote. So you know what the Democrats are doing. They're bringing in all the illegals. They're saying, we're going to give homeless people welfare. Just vote Democrat, baby. You'll get a free ride.
And you get to...
and a free toilet.
Get to steal people's dogs and rob people and shoot heroin up and spew diarrhea all over the walls. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alex Jones, your host, and I've been really fired up today because the news is all so crazy, it's so insane. We're having to have a Supreme Court case, and thank God they're at least hearing it, because the Connecticut Supreme Court and the same Democrat law firm, Koskoff & Koskoff, that has bragged that their job is to, quote, do the kill shot and remove me off the air. They want to get rid of the First Amendment. They sued Remington into bankruptcy and are trying to say that gun makers, if they win this case, are liable for what a criminal does. Then that'll be what a criminal does with a car or a baseball bat or a knife. I mean, this is so dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. They're overthrowing America. And so I'm quite frankly honored to be targeted by the worst people in America. And it's because we are over the target, you're over the target. And I'm not trying to kiss this audience's rear end. You understand, you're the folks that were led by God, led by your instincts, led by your will, whatever, to this. And you know, despite the fact sometimes I'm an obnoxious train wreck, it's because I'm on fire. Because this is real. Oh, and I want to finish up Neil Rod Shotgun with us. And Will's got a ton to cover, and he used to live out. He's lived in the South. He's lived, in Texas. He's lived out in California. He's seen how they're using the homeless and how it's not just your old-fashioned mentally ill homeless or hobos. It's really sick, nasty, mean, hateful people that are getting government money and just sitting down in lawn chairs where he thinks it's all going. We probably show some of my footage when we went up to Skid Row where they're sitting out in, like, beautiful couches and stuff, just lounging on drugs, and why the system can do this overnight in a city. But describe to us this 3 or 4 minute clip compilation we're about to play. We've posted hours of the amazing stuff you and Savannah and others have done at City Council, you name it. It's being reposted to the front page of Infowars.com right now from the article they wrote over at National File that Tom Papert had put together by his writers, where you camp out in front of the City Council, the only place you're not allowed to camp. I love how they exempt themselves to rub it in.
Yeah, just right in the citizens of Austin's face. It's really amazing, their arrogance. And so, yeah, we did a tent city cookout. I'm going to do another one in October. I think we've decided on some other plans here that we're going to do. We won't release that yet, but that's going to be fun, too. So, yeah.
We need to go to the city council members' houses and bring the homeless.
They're going to have to face...
I'm going to pay the homeless to live at their houses.
There you go.
Hey, they're by my house. They're by my office.
Yeah.
Cargill, he's got a great gun shop. He's got him crapping in front of his office.
You know, and behind now. He was just telling me the other day how he walked out back to take his trash out, and there was a lady there taking a dump, and he just is like, excuse me. She goes, yeah, I'll be finished soon. Oh, okay. I guess this is your bathroom out here outside of my place of business. But so I've been covering this, Alex. We've got all the stories at Infowars.com. There was a meeting, which is the third meeting like this here in Austin, Texas. There'll be more. They're all worthless. And I was there with Savannah Hernandez. That's the point with Brandon was there with us filming, too. And they're just sitting here, just a bunch of worthless drivel coming out of their mouths. Nothing's going to get done. I couldn't take it any longer. And so we just put together this compilation of Savannah and I standing up to the city council and the mayor, and then local news picking it up.
That I think helps point the direction to where we need to go as a community.
All right, I can't take this anymore. Nothing is going to change in this city with meetings like this. This is pathetic. Nothing is going to change in this city with meetings like this and leaders like this. This is pathetic. How many times do we have to have meetings like this? We should be sounding like me right now. We should be sounding like me right now, not like them.
More than 300 people showed up last night. Some of them were very vocal, both with the council and with each other.
What will it take for this board to repeal the lenient changes they made in June that can lead to a shantytown? We cannot normalize shantytown. That doesn't help anybody.
At least one person was kicked out.
Yeah, last week the city manager recommended restrictions on where homeless people can camp.
Look at the guns,
man. One guest at the meeting said that he wants to make sure the watershed area behind his house is included in that plan.
Are you in favor? You're going to go back to your $4 million condo now? You criminalize people for standing up for their community?
That's a perv right there, boy.
I apologize for being
late. Yeah, he lives 50 stories up.
He was late.
Is that in correspondence to homelessness more? And accelerating housing crisis in the city.
His nickname is now Perv Daddy.
This is Adlerville.
Pervertville.
The national average was 5%. Dallas went up.
That's the mayor, by the way, this cuck.
Most of the people that are homeless, experiencing homelessness in our community, are not experiencing homelessness because they're addicts.
Yes, they are. They're devil-worshipping drug addicts.
Total lie. And he never sourced any you know, study.
These homeless people look like Day of the Dead.
They're dealing with just the perfect storm.
My staff and I were there every week at the Arch talking with our social service providers and helping give a lot of support for a pilot program that I think helps.
Notice, we need support for more money to bring more here.
I can't take this anymore.
Of course, one of her family members probably runs
it. This city with meetings like this. This is pathetic. Nothing is going to change in this city with meetings like this and leaders like this. This is pathetic. How many times do we have to have meetings like this? We should be sounding like me right now. We should be sounding like me right now, not like them.
See, you want to
know why
spirit.
Nothing changes in this city? Because of bad leadership. Nothing is going to change in this city or your city with this bad leadership. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. Nothing is going to change in this city. And notice how every city he mentioned is run by Democrats. Democrats do this to cities. Nothing is going to change in this city with this leadership. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We need a new mayor.
That's pathetic. I couldn't deal with that anymore. Thank you, officers. You'll be here no
And you know, Alex, you said it. It's all about a fighting spirit. It's like the fighting spirit is dead.
And the left, everywhere they go, they go, we're going to bring all the drug addicts in, and they're going to poop in your front yard and bite your kids and kill your cousin, and you're going to suck it. No, I'm not.
And we're going to talk about it, but there's not going to be any action.
Will, watching this, what do you make of this? I mean, you've lived in around San Francisco. What's it like?
You know what? This is the Democrat policy. This is what they want. This is what they want for America. Chicago, Detroit, Delaware. I mean, all of these countries, Baltimore, San Francisco, Oakland.
That's the globalist plan. Bring America down.
That's what they want. And Austin, now Austin. I moved to Texas, and I'm like, I can't believe this is Texas.
Yeah, people can't believe it.
Texas is inches away from going blue. The average good old boy's like, it'll never happen to us.
Yeah, seriously.
I used to be one of them. I thought, no way. Now I'm like, oh, gee.
You know what? I do my videos, and people say, it's never going to be Texas. It's never going to be Texas. Owen just showed it's Texas. Why are people still not...
Every major city is now a giant blue toilet.
Yes.
In Texas.
It's their plan. It's their program.
And instead of pissing on us, they poop on us.
And then because they don't have enough people in the United States right now, they're going to bring people from outside of the country in the same situation.
And hop them up on heroin.
Yes.
Don't worry, though. They'll be voting.
Remember, 25 tons of fentanyl, enough to kill everybody on the earth. 10-plus billion people would kill, so that's more than 7 million. The Chi-Com's shipping in, and a bunch of these folks are on fentanyl.
Well, they're definitely on drugs, Alex.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, nobody behaves like this. Or they're mentally ill and they need some help. But, again, I'm walking around yesterday, and I'm dealing with guys dancing around with their shirts off, clearly hopped up on amphetamines with a purge mask on, man. I mean, whoa.
Unbelievable.
They're trying to collapse society. It's the French Revolution, the Jacobins. Folks, look it up. We'll be right back with Will Johnson, Owen Schroyer, InfoWars.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Riders on the storm. Joe Rogan lives in L.A., and he described it like a zombie apocalypse. I was in L.A. Earlier this year to go on his podcast. I went down to Skid Row and other areas, and then I went back out there to go on Logan Paul. And just since I'd been there 3 or 4 months earlier, it was already worse. I mean, it was like every road, every area. I was in different parts of L.A. going all these podcasts, and it was like up on top of a hill, by the side of the road, underpasses. It's everywhere. And the people are laid out smoking cigarettes, dudes having sex. Just right there as you're driving down the road, there's two homeless trannies banging each other. I mean, folks.
Well, you got to get one in, Alex.
What?
You know, it's got to get one in California.
Listen, we got some of this on footage I haven't put out. I'm telling you, man.
I told you on Skid Row. I don't think we can air that.
Listen, have you seen, like in zombie movies, they're real slow, kind of like in The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price, the original that got made into I Am Legend, all that?
Yeah.
Where the zombies are real slow, but sometimes you kind of forget, and all of a sudden one's right there. We're sitting there interviewing somebody at Skid Row, and all of a sudden, I'd kind of ignored them and gone past because these dudes were having sex in the tent right there. Well, all of a sudden, I turn around, and they're right there. Okay, a black guy dressed like a woman and a white guy, and I'm telling you.
Still fornicating?
One of them was naked, had flies all over him, and white stuff smeared all over him, and sweat. And I'm telling you, it was so shriveled. It was like melting black wax was his belly. It was like gribbling. It was like rotting. You could see his spinal cord and then big wounds in his arms from all the heroin. And he was like, oh, yeah. And the other guy was looking at me going, yeah, like coming at me sexually. And we ran. Yeah, I mean, I've never in a nightmare, I've never seen that in a movie, dude. The smell-o-vision, I began vomiting as I was running. Because I'm looking at flies and all this.
The sound of it makes me want to vomit.
I'm telling you, man, I've seen hell.
This sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, Alex. You just got a free show. That's what that is. You know the type of money people pay for that kind of entertainment? You should be thanking the California government. But you know what? On a serious note, isn't it sad, though? Because California, Los Angeles is such a beautiful city. I mean, the mountains, the ocean, I mean, the weather, it's all just, what a beautiful city. And they just let just people just ruin it. Like, they don't even care. And then they say, oh, don't have a plastic straw. Oh, don't drive a car. You're going to destroy the planet. Meanwhile, they literally turn their most beautiful cities into third world hellholes.
Will Johnson, what's going on here?
You know, before I moved to California, they were telling me that the smog in L.A. was really thick. Well, when I moved to California, you could see the top of the buildings. It was absolutely wonderful. I'm like, look at this beautiful city. And then, because they fixed the climate issue in L.A., they fixed all of that, they have to target something else. What do they target? Now they want to target homeless. They want to create an epidemic. They want to create these diseases. They have to have something else. And you know what? I know this kind of off topic, but you know what? The climate change. The only reason why I'm thinking about it because the clowns were just, they just had a thing on the Communist News Network talking about the climate change. In L.A., and you brought up L.A., and L.A. is now a beautiful city. The air is clear. And because they are doing,
I was fixing Owen's microphone. Sorry.
because the air quality in L.A. is so much better. Now they get to focus on creating another problem. Why don't they just follow the model that L.A. did for the climate change? There's no more fog. There's no more smog in the air. It's clear. I know it's a different subject, but the homelessness in L.A., in San Francisco, is so bad that they're happy with the outcome that they've done. They're happy with it. They're like, this is the motto. This is what we want to do.
Oh, the mayor went on KLBJ in July when they first did this and said, we want you to know it's a problem so we get more funding, and so we're going to tell them to sleep in your yard. But all they were really doing was inviting everyone here.
Well, yeah. And supposedly right now California has a surplus. How come they're not fixing the issue? If California has a surplus, how come they're not fixing the issue? They still have all these homeless that are living everywhere. They're defecating in the streets. There's needles everywhere. And there's not just men. They're women and children. And then Democrats act like they're all so loving and compassionate.
Oh, yeah, the CPS doesn't take the kids away when it's some young 20-year-old woman bombed out of her brain on heroin. They're doing tricks right there in a tent, and there's a 5-year-old kid.
Yeah, of course, because that's what they want. They want people living in this condition. And it's sickening. And what do we do? You know what? I think Owen set the example. When you go to these meetings, don't sit idly by while they're just, okay, this is how we're going to be. We're going to talk about
this. What are they going to do if 50 of you go in there and yell and scream and tell the city council, did you see how the mayor and them would get those weird demonic possum smiles? People are like, hey, you live 50 stories up in a $4 million condo. You don't have to live down on the streets with this. And he's like smiling. He loves what he's doing.
Oh, when we go to the city council meetings, in fact, when we go to city council meetings now, Mayor Adler just leaves. He laughs and he just leaves the room now because, he's heard enough of us. That shows how much he cares. But, yeah, it's the same thing. In fact, I caught one of the city council members illegally campaigning within 50 yards of a polling station.
They're doing it at the entrance.
And yes. I called him out on it. He laughs. It's like you said. It's like, we screwed you over. I'm telling you, it's the same thing. It's this psychology, this mindset of I'm going to deceive you and then you're going to accept it. And that's just a total psychological conquering of you.
It's total lawlessness. I mean, they disregard the law 100%. They don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. For them, it's truth over facts. You know, so they wanted to run this whole agenda against the American people. And the American people are supposed to sit idly by while it's taking place.
Well, Will, that's the thing is, we all know they lie. But, I mean, when AP runs a headline that I wrote a book about Sandy Hook and that I lost $3 million lawsuit, and, like, none of it's true. It's not like they lied some. They create a whole fake story. None of it's true. And then now they're running news stories where what the basis of what they're saying is not true. The judge didn't even have a ruling. He said, no, the lawsuit goes forward. So the state court said, no, you got to have a hearing before we can even have an appeal. So that actually creates more time for us and everything. So we actually won on this latest thing. They turned it into a defeat.
You know what I have the issue with the Sandy Hook? And you brought it up. The issue that I have is that they don't want people to question things. So I'm going to give you an example. Talk about the moon landing. Now, I love space travel. I want to be able to space travel. I want to do all of that. But I question, did we actually land on the moon?
That's
your
right.
It's the same thing with Sandy Hook. You should have every right to question it. Now, the main problem here is that they're going after people for questioning anything that the media is telling us. That's what people are realizing.
Well, they lie and say, I sent people to their houses. It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. But people are upset because you question what they're telling us. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Don't question what we're telling you. Believe everything. You're supposed to believe everything. You're supposed to accept it. That is what. And if you don't accept it, then you're the enemy. Then you're bad. Question everything. Even if you're wrong, you question it. When we stop questioning stuff, we stop questioning our humanity. We stop questioning everything. We lose.
That's basic human right is to question. If I want to say the moon's made of cheese, it's my right.
Absolutely. You have every right to say so. Just like when Owen went there, he have every right to stand up and say, we need to stand up and stop being so complacent and start addressing the main issue that's happening here. People, if no one does anything, if no one says anything, we're going to live in this condition for the end of time. And they're just going to run all over America, kill the American people, and they don't care. And they know they're going to do that because that is their agenda.
That's right. And again, the homeless people that beg on the street corners, a lot of them live in nice homes and stuff, and a lot of that's a scam. If you want to give people money, you know, do it all day. But the old-fashioned homeless, that's not what's going on. This giant invasion is lazy people that want to take drugs and not work, and they're mean, and they're criminal, and they killed my cousin. I was close to my cousin. They killed him. A zombie killed a member of my family. Killed him. Yeah, that's footage that we shot. That is in Skid Row. And there's hundreds of streets like this. But that's real footage if you're a TV viewer. And the left comes and brings them all this furniture and worships them. It's worship. It's a worship of the collapse. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. Will's got a very exciting announcement he's about to make. Believe me, you want to stay with us. There's another cool website I'll tell you about as well. Till I tune in to the Holy Spirit. I don't have to wait till I die. I know what I'm after. I found it.
I won't get to get what I'm after.
Till I tune in to NewsWars.com. Will Johnson, you have been doing your own successful show for a long time, and I know that you have been wanting to up your game and wanting to get some higher production quality, but you're doing your own show, but it's one of the new shows that we're going to be carrying on the InfoWars Network. The next week or so, we're going to be announcing some other shows, and Tom Papert, that's already running TV stations and already doing a lot of stuff, that guy's a heavy hitter at 24 years old, which you can do, folks. I was already number one in the city of Austin at 24. Tom Papert is going to be your fill-in host, your backup host. He'll be helping produce it with you from Kansas, where he's already built studios and is already doing a lot of stuff. He's launching his own network. We're working with some other networks, so we're very excited that starting next Monday or September 9th, tell me about it, because I mean you're the one running all this, setting it up. It's your own show. We're going to be helping you some with reporters and, you know, backup and some technical stuff. But tell us about your show, because I mean I've been talking about it for months with you, but I've been so busy that I don't know the particulars. Tell me about it's called Firepower.
Yes, it's Firepower with Will Johnson.
Tell us about it.
So, you know, my thing is that I don't have the power and I don't have the fire, but I want to be on fire for God. That's my thing. I want to be on fire for God and for this country. Because if we don't get off of our butts right now, come 2020, we're not going to have a country. The left, they're trying to do everything they can to destroy every free thing that we have. This, the luxuries that we have as Americans. So my show is going to consist of bringing guests on, multiple guests. We're going to be talking about the daily topics. We're going to show multiple clips of everything that's going on.
And you were saying kind of an ESPN countdown every hour, at least a segment or two.
Well, yeah. So one of the things I came up with, we're going to talk about, we're going to say, who's on fire? Like, for example, Owen, he was on fire when he went to that meeting. Owen was on fire. And then who was in the line of fire? You know, we could talk about, it doesn't even have to be a person. It could be like the state of Florida, who's in the line of fire, the storm that's coming. And who got burned, you know? Ryan Stelter, he got burned again.
Mark, that's awesome. And again, you were the one we were talking about this months ago. You told me you were developing the show. I said, well, I want to pick that up. I want to carry it. You were saying, and listen, Alex, you need to get out with a microphone and get in front of things like you do every once in a while. So you were the one who encouraged me to do that. So you're a good talk show host and getting better. You're better than I was when I was first starting out. But when it comes to ideas, you got really good ideas.
Well, you know what? I just want to be creative as much as possible. And I think creativity comes out when you have freedom to do what you want to do. And I think with this show, I've been extremely blessed with firepower. Extremely blessed. And I realize what I have, and I wanted to take advantage of it 100% and just be creative as much as possible. And I think I want to reach people that don't see what they normally see. Because, you know, the mainstream media, they're not going to give it to you. InfoWars has been giving it to people for years, for years. So I just would love to be able to achieve something that no one else has.
And you had a group of like some focus groups you're going to bring. I've seen it before. You're going to bring in groups of people.
So
you're going to bring listeners in.
Yeah, so as the show progresses and grows, that we're going to have a panel of people to come on, and hopefully we can have like four, maybe five people sitting down together, talking about different things, talking about the hot topics. And I would love to have people with opposing opinions. You know, not just someone who's going to agree with me. I mean, I think
we try to do that. I don't know how Tucker Carlson gets them.
The best conversations are ones with people disagreeing with you.
I totally agree. So many other exciting ideas. So this starts next Monday.
Next Monday at 7 p.m. Central, 7 to 9.
And we're going to be carrying it here. And then I guess soon we're going to be launching another special hour show. We're working with some folks that's in between 6 and 7 before you go on. We'll work with some other folks soon to launch overnight. Because here's the thing, at least until midnight, 2020 is the big year. I mean, you think 2018 was key, 2016 was key. The globalists are putting all their firepower downrange at us. We've got intellectual power. They've got bullying. They've got violence. And so when you have the idea for what's on fire, what's under fire, and who's getting burned, that's all genius. The ideas of getting out in front of people, doing things, all of that. I think this is going to be a really special show. And I guess it kicks off a few days before we're going to have the live coverage of the Democrat debates in Houston. We're going to have reporters on the ground. I heard somebody might be going. I don't know.
Is that a little foreshadowing there?
Owen, I'm really excited about the things that are happening, the things that are going on. And again, Papert's already been building his own studio. Magically, it's done next week. And again, he's going to be doing his own shows. He's going to be co-hosting and helping produce a lot with Scott and others with Firepower. He's great on air. And again, we're going to have a large panels. It's just going to be very exciting. And again, it's not an InfoWars show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Will Johnson, but we're going to be helping him in the production of it and things like that. We're very, very excited about it. And I'm also told you have a website that it's about to be active.
Yes, it's firepowernews.com. You'll be able to go there. And also, a lot of my videos will be on band.video.
And that is our site, band.video. Yes. And more, InfoWars is flooded with all our great video content, but it does cover up a lot of the written content. So more and more, we're going to have links in the articles saying go to David Knight's page, go to Will Johnson's Firepower page, go to Owen Schroeder's page, go to Paul Watson's page, and we're going to add a lot of other contributors, again, where we won't even be helping in the production. It'll just be a place where they know it'll always be there, and so they can mirror it when it's getting censored other places. And a lot of these videos are getting 300,000, 400,000 views. The average view is about 10,000, but we're putting up hundreds a day, so there's kind of a glut. And we have now over 650 million views just on our live streams in the last 6 months alone. hundreds of millions of views of our videos overall. That really outrages the system that we've built our own infrastructure at band.video. That's band.video, also infowars.com/show. And Will's going to have his own page soon added there. Again, we're going to have other contributors. We're hiring a lot of crew, a lot of producers, a lot of people to do video switchers, just so we can do things like grab other people's productions and then bring them in and send them up on satellite. We're on two TV satellites right now, costing us, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month. I'm launching other satellites. I'm putting everything I've got. I've not paid myself in over a year. That's fine, quite frankly. I've talked to family if I need to, inheritances and things I never got. I've never gotten any family help doing this. I'll sell the farm, okay? I mean, we are total commitment. Our forebears did it. They lost everything to give us this. I am honored to do this. But it'd make it a lot easier, folks, if folks simply flood us with the cash and fight the war. I'll sell the farm, the remnant of it, in our family's hands since 1822. I'm ready to do it, okay? That's what this comes down to. I'll sell the farm for this country and the unborn children. That's not a cost. That's an honor and a pleasure. But selling the farm only run this place a few months, ladies and gentlemen. We need your support at InfoWarsStore.com right now.
Well, I just want to say I've witnessed what you're talking about firsthand. So if anybody doubts that, I can tell you firsthand that that is true. But just in the over 3 years that I've been working here, I've seen InfoWars come so far, Alex. It's really just been an unbelievable growth here. And to know that this is something that has been an independent endeavor of Alex Jones and the people here and the audience, that's what angers the globalists so much. That's what angers Democrats so much. That's what angers control freaks so much. They can't control this. They have no means of control of this news organization other than trying to engage in lawfare against us, libel us, attack us with fake news and all this stuff. They have no levers of power here. They don't have anybody in the doors paying our bills. We don't have any sponsors that can tell us you can't.
They can put a gun to our head, and we're not backing down.
And so it's just been an unbelievable experience to just witness the growth of InfoWars in the 3+ years that I've been here and just the steadfastness that you've had and your commitment to expand. So it's been unbelievable. And I think that, you know, when we get to it's almost to the prime of the election season. Yeah, we're just running back and looking at some videos.
Who's that young man, Owen?
Who is that guy? Anyway, I don't even recognize that young guy. That's unbelievable right there.
Wow.
How many years? Like 3 years ago?
Not even, man. That was in Santilli, Virginia, just at the Bilderberg Conference of 2000 and I think 18 or 17, maybe. But that's just the stuff we do, Alex. You send me around the states. We cover it. You hire new reporters. We do everything we can.
Well, it's our listeners that have done this. And again, they tried to crush us. They tried to destroy us, but we're still on air. We're fighting back. Share the links, Infowars.com/show, band.video. But I'm promoting everybody. I told Paul, hey, they could try to shut us down. You know, who knows? They might kill me or put me in prison. You better start a new fancy, nice website. And I encourage Paul. He's soon going to put out ads and try to hire a few reporters and camera people there in London. And, I mean, that's true leadership. It's not making it all about yourself. It's about growing teams. We're not launching lifeboats either. We're launching, like, Genesis ships of new groups and people to go out and continue the fight against the New World Order. And we're not expecting to be defeated, but we're making sure that we lay a lot of eggs on the way to the fight, because long after we're gone, the fight against evil will continue. We'll be back with the fourth hour to finish up, and then we've got Dr. Nick Bettis.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
You know, I joked around so much calling Count Dankula Carpe Donctum the other day. I was on air and I was talking about, you know, Carpe Donctum didn't do anything wrong with Hitler, dog. He didn't do it to be racist. But if he was being racist, it's his right to. Because everybody always says, well, they're not being racist, so don't take their speech. No, everyone has speech. And that's what this is all about. But I hope we can get leftist on, crazy racist, all of it. Because we need to have major debates and really separate what's really happening here. I'm so excited, Will Johnson, about Firepower. Tell us more about the show you're going to be launching. We're going to be carrying it, putting up on the TV satellite. But you're independently producing it. We're very excited to be helping you in some ways with some of the production and things and some of the co-hosts and things that we've helped line you up with. But to tell us more about Firepower starting next Monday at 7 p.m. Central.
You know what? I want to engage with the audience. I want to make it where it's almost interactive. I want to make it to where we have on a weekly basis, if we can have a panel of people come together to talk about the different things that took place throughout the week. And it's just, we've got to get on fire about this country. And I love Owen's enthusiasm about how he was when he was at that meeting. And you know what? I love that. And I want to bring that kind of energy, that kind of power, that kind of firepower to the screen.
So you want to bring the most powerful stuff of liberty to the program?
Yes, absolutely. And I want to bring on guests that love this country as well. And you know, like I said, I want to have people on that don't agree with me.
Firepowernews.com?
Yeah, firepowernews.com. You can find all of the information. What it's in the process of being worked on right now, but here with this, it's going to be a growing thing. But here in the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to go there and see articles. You'll see the live feed. You'll see videos, reports.
But you've also got some big sites you built. Tell folks about the ones that will also have the feed.
Yeah, so the one I will actually have on my personal feed, which is uniteamericafirst.com, I still will have that website up, and the personal feed will be there. But we're also on Twitter, as you know, as long as Twitter doesn't get upset because a black man is talking about support for President Trump, and a black man is sitting here with Owen and Alex Jones, a lot of people might, oh, no, no, no. But you know what makes me think about it? And it's all related. I want to address the issues, how they're always constantly saying that white people are racist in this country. And most of the time when they do that, it's always the white people that's doing something that's helping black people. For example, President Trump. President Trump is doing more for any other black people than any other president in history, and what they're calling him racist. Every single time I've noticed that, when they have someone white that's doing something positive that's, and black people are benefiting, they call him racist. It happens constantly.
Well, we know the Democrats want dependency. They want everybody dependent. They want total control.
Well, even CNN actually just had to print a story today. Black unemployment rate lowest in recorded history.
What is it like, though, getting to know Abraham Lincoln when he was young? You literally look like Abraham Lincoln.
Mm.
Are you actually Abraham Lincoln in a time machine?
Yes, I have actually traveled. Well, actually, it's not time.
You identify as Abraham Lincoln.
It's interdimensional.
And if I misidentify you, yes. I can go to jail in California.
No, that's right. I'm actually Abraham Lincoln. I'm an interdimensional, time-traveling, dimensional-traveling Abe Lincoln. I'm here from, actually now it's 77 years ago.
Look at you. That's you when you're a little bit older.
Yeah, I'm actually older in that picture. It was a couple hundred years ago, I think, now.
By the way, you kind of look like him.
Yeah, that was an older me from 100.
Look at the years, though. Ago.
No, I'm kind of
got little monkey ears. Look at you.
Look, when you're an interdimensional time traveler, you get a little.
It's hold
a little
on.
Confusing.
Come on. Look at those.
Good stuff.
All right, that's it. I have to grow. I need a top hat.
Ah, hey, your ears are nice. I wasn't being mean.
I need a top hat now.
I'm just saying. You've got Abraham Lincoln's ears. Hey, holy
look, for
crap.
Real, though.
You're Abraham Lincoln.
Listen.
I'm Bill Hicks for Abraham Lincoln.
All right, now that it's out, though, for real, I left my top hat in somewhere in the 1860s.
Hey, we've got one around here. Where's that damn top hat I bought?
If y'all could help me find my top hat, that would be great.
All right, we'll be back with Carpe Donctum. Great job. Firepower
Carpe Donctum. Do you have my top hat? Maybe Carpe Donctum has my top hat.
Maybe he stole it. MemeWorld.com, you dirty Americans and others. Don't visit MemeWorld.com. Let Facebook and Twitter and others win. Silicon Valley says don't visit it and sure as hell don't share it. Your radio listener, MemeWorld.com. And again, here it is, the Nike commercial, Make America Great Again deserves. Here it is.
If they laugh at what you think you can do. Good.
stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment.
It's right now, Donald Trump.
I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on.
I'm not going to be a president, Donald Trump.
Don't settle for homecoming queen or linebacker. Do both. You have to be like anybody to be somebody.
And again, this is mainly for TV. Also, radio listeners should go to memeworld.com. Whatever you do, don't share any links.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. When they talk about the greatest team in the history of the sport, make sure it's your team.
I was there in Cleveland right when he came out. I was like right in front of him.
Yeah, that's more like it. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
That's just some of the great ones up there. A lot of the original memes you'll find at memeworld.com. I wanted to get Carpe Donctum to pop in here as kind of one of the main meme guys out there, working with Trump, you name it, because you've got a contest coming up at memeworld.com that's almost about to close, and people really need to get involved in this, not for the money and the prizes, but for the fight, because the system is really scared of memes because AI has trouble flagging it and censoring it, so it's getting through the enemy's defenses.
Yes, sir. We've got a contest that is going to close in about 3 days, and we've got a lot of good. I'm sorry, I'm fighting a cold, so my brain is all over the place. But we've got a
You're
lot
doing
of good,
good
submissions so far.
You're doing good. Well done, Carpe Doctor.
I don't know if you noticed, but my voice has dropped about 6 octaves, so I'm right around in the Alex Jones range now. So if people think that we're actually the same person, I wouldn't be surprised. But
No. We're not Abraham Lincoln.
But we've got a bunch of good submissions. I just received probably 4 or 5 really, really good videos. People took some time to spend on them and just made them great. So I'll be putting out some of those in just a few days.
Again,
the 9th, I believe, is the last day. So everybody has until the 9th to make a great meme for American Priority.
Well, that's beautiful. And when's that conference coming up that's helping sponsor this?
The American Priority is in it's in Miami, and it's the 10th through the 12th of October.
Very exciting.
So you've got about a month. And it's at the Trump Doral, so it's going to be as long as no hurricanes hit, you know, knock on wood, before then, it should be a beautiful place and beautiful weather.
By the way, I am, again, very pleased that Trump's in. Very pleased he's gotten 2 Supreme Court justices, light years better than what Hillary would have done, obviously. And he's fighting for our economy. He's fighting against the Chi-Coms. He's fighting to secure the border. He has built a ton of fence. The media lied about that. He just said to the Border Patrol, where do you need it? Well, it was all broken down where it was at. But it's hundreds and hundreds of miles of new fence, 70-something miles where there wasn't fence. So it's like, depending on the numbers, like 270 miles of fence if you really go deeper. Well, against all this bureaucracy, it's amazing. But we're 2 days in here, and we haven't seen the White House come out and repudiate the Washington Post article that he's looking at a digital red flag, end of due process, take our guns situation. And I just really think Trump needs to come out and repudiate that right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that he should come out strongly. And I mean, if that's what he wants to do, that I don't think that's a good idea. But he should at least say one way or another if he's going to be supporting those things. I think the red flag laws and the the removal of your right to, you know, a trial by jury, and, you know, you have to do something wrong before you can be arrested. I think that's a major part of our system.
You say, I'm taking these guns to go kill somebody. Then you can take the guns away because it's a terroristic threat. But and I want to be clear. Weeks after he said he was looking at red flags, he said, no, it wouldn't save anybody. I looked at it. It's not a good idea. We said that was coming. I was like, great, wonderful. It's this digital one that Ivanka's bringing forward that I'm really concerned about.
Right. And again, he's going to have to clarify. Obviously, we all want to support him in what he does, but there's just certain things that you can't capitulate to. You can't capitulate to these 1984 type of thought crime and online thought crime kind of stuff. It's just, it leads to just tyranny, and he's not going to be present forever. So these laws are all going to be on the books for years to come. And should a Democrat get elected in 2024, then they'll be able to use them just how they can be used right now.
That brings me to my next question. Joe Biden's eyes are literally bleeding during speeches. He can't hardly talk. Now even Politico says, is he going to drop out? I mean, I heard he's shooting his mouth off saying, why did I do this? Obama told him not to run. The guy's 76, okay? So if he served one term, he'd be, you know, 81 when he got out. If he had two terms, 80, 85. No one's ever done that. Joe can't do it. Trump looks great at 73. Biden looks like a reanimated, you know, piece of beef jerky at 76, about to be 77. What do you expect? Gut level, I think he's got to drop out. A, if that's true, who slips in there?
Well, I mean, I personally think that he's got to drop out. Like, just the lack of, like, he's not mentally sharp. He's as sharp as I am right now, and I'm barely functioning. But he can't survive this. He can't go up and debate. Number one, he can't debate Trump. He can't debate Trump if he's only working with half a brain. But who slips into that spot? I've thought that Elizabeth Warren is probably the one that's going to slip in. I think too many people dislike Kamala Harris, even on the left. I don't think that any of the men that are still left in there, Bernie doesn't really have a chance. He's just as old as Biden. I really think that if it's going to come down to it, it's probably going to be Elizabeth Warren as the backup candidate.
I agree, and that's who the White House thinks it's going to be. How on earth are they going to have Biden extricate himself? Because we said that 3 months ago or 2.5 months ago. We were right, because I was told by Secret Service sources that he's saying, I'm going to quit, and cussing and yelling, and why am I doing this? I think that I wonder who's making him do it if Obama told him not to.
Well, you know, I think that he's just – I think he has to run. All of the candidates are so far left that I mean, they're alienating their own base, and if
he's just giving cover exactly from all the socialists to make him look more, you know, regular six-pack Joe. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Exactly.
All right, Carpe Dunctum runs MeanWorld.com, and there's some amazing new things there to go viral. Do it today in victory against the New World Order. Have a good weekend, Carpe.
You too, sir.
We'll be back with Dr. Nick Begich and a little bit from Bernie Sanders first. Run, Bernie, run.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Anything I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here. Win. Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Win. Win. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to InfoWars. And this is Dr. Nick Begich coming to you from Alaska. And, wow, you know, where do you start today, right? I mean, thinking about what's going on in the world and really at the local, you know, homeless deal, right? And actually, it's misnamed. Homelessness is not the issue. It's alcohol and drug abuse, okay? So what has happened also is the left has hijacked the cause, if you will, and made it homelessness, lack of housing. And actually, that's maybe a symptom, but it's not the cause, okay? The cause is alcoholism and drug addiction and mental illness and things that are not being addressed in really a good way. And I want, because I've been in a bunch of conversations this week about values. You know, it's kind of the basis of what we see in the world, right? Is the manifestation of our values acted out on the playing field of life. And what we're seeing is really the degradation of it. I mean, the darkness of it, if you will, is in front of us everywhere. And at the local level, especially, and on the homelessness issue, I want to talk about that during the course of the broadcast today, because it's a national issue, not just one local to Austin, even here in Anchorage. It's horrible what's happening on the left coast. But I want to talk about a couple of things to kind of bring us into that conversation. And first is I want to talk about tolerance as a concept, because it really grinds against certain aspects of me when I hear the left talking about tolerance. Because what tolerance represents to me is hatred, if you will. Because when a person is tolerant, using that phrase, you're really accepting something that you don't accept, right? I mean, you're silencing your speech for political reasons, political correctness, cultural reasons, or other reasons. You're just not saying what you feel in your heart and in your head. So that's tolerance. And I don't think that's a good thing. In fact, I think it runs counter to maybe what we're striving for, which is something that actually is deeper. And I want to talk about that in the context of all of this, because acceptance is recognizing where someone is and meeting them there. And then, you know, I mean, think about the walk of Christ. You know, he met people where they were, not where he wished they would be, right? He met the whores in the street and the lepers and the outcasts where they were. Now he hoped to be, although he knew where they could be, right? So when I look at this crisis, it's a crisis of guilt and poorly motivated, wrong-headed approaches to solutions, because they're not solutions. In fact, they exacerbate the problem, because providing homes for people that are drug addicts and alcoholics means that they can live a little more comfortably while they're drug addicts and alcoholics, and it doesn't fix the problem. And when people drop to a certain level, you know, you can let them stay there. You can accept it and tolerate it, as the left has done, and have them crapping on your streets from Anchorage to Austin, because that's what happens here too, in Anchorage, Alaska. As much as that's hard to believe and is a little tough on the tourist trade, it's the truth. And that's making people very uncomfortable. You know, and here in Anchorage and in Alaska, we have possibilities. In fact, we have possibilities everywhere for actual solutions. But that requires being accountable and responsible for individual behavior. And when people are committing crimes by defecating in the street, or occupying public places, or in trespass, or whatever, either we have a rule of law or we have none, and we have anarchy. And I don't think that's what Americans truly want. We want a solution, for sure. But the ones being proposed are exacerbating the problem and creating havens for bad behavior that's not addressed. Now, here in Alaska, in 1956, 2 years, 3 years actually before statehood, they created the Mental Health Trust, right? And it was a land trust. And I've talked about economics before. You know, there's only four things that really matter: land and natural resources, labor, entrepreneurship, and capital equipment and real economies. All the rest is, you know, the space between the paper, stock certificates, and money. But they endowed this, 1 million acres of land, so that they could produce from the land rents and royalties from oil, gas, minerals, surface estate, etc., to pay for mental health costs in Alaska. And I have to say, you know, there's been ups and downs in this. I'm not going to get into the history today. It's too complex. But the simplicity of it is it throws off $50 million a year in a state of 750,000, and it hasn't been able to address the problem since 1956 because they failed, actually. See, because when you have 1 million acres of land and natural resources in Alaska for over a half a century and you can't figure it out for the dysfunctional within a population of 750,000, you stamp F on it, you call it a failure, and you revamp the thing. You re-examine what you're doing. Now, in Alaska, at the same time, we have a homeless crisis in Anchorage, 1,100 people in the street, estimated. We have a facility north of Anchorage with 900 empty beds, and it's furnished down to the forks, and it's an ex-prison, right? They closed it down, you know, not for lack of applicants, but because they did. Now, from my perspective, and I propose this to our local assembly and to others, I sent out over 500 papers on it, presented in Anchorage a number of times, that they transfer that facility over to the Mental Health Trust for nothing. It'll save the state $7.5 million a year in operating costs, and then subcontract with Anchorage to start arresting people and putting them in compulsory rehabilitation, because that's the only answer. They can't do it themselves. They're failing. Okay, do we let our society crash and burn, or do we hold people accountable and create a mechanism? And I want to get into that mechanism after the break. You know, this is a crisis that's happening around the world, and if you travel around the world and you see how it ends, you don't want that for the United States, ladies and gentlemen. It ends with slums on hillsides. Go to Rio and check it out. First time I went there was 1974, and I remember it vividly. It altered my way of viewing poverty and misery. We're going to be right back. This is Dr. Nick Begich.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars, September 6th, 2019. And we're in this last hour on a Friday afternoon in most of the country. You know, when I, again, getting back to the underlying problems, you know, the value systems and sort of attacking some of these things. You know, when I, again, thinking in terms of my own local neighborhood, you know, it's over a year ago, I addressed this issue. And I actually wrote little four-page, you know, white paper, what they call a white paper, and circulated it over 500 people in the hope someone would actually read it and do something with it. You know, that's in leadership. Went to a bunch of their committee meetings and so on to try and push this forward and just couldn't gain traction. Because of the third piece of it, everybody objected to, which is a user fee on alcohol, right? Or a tax, if you will, if you want to call it that. But I think it's a user fee. And here's why. In Alaska, we don't have an income tax. We don't have a sales tax on the state level. We don't have a state property tax. We have a little bit of excise taxes, cigarettes, alcohol. And in alcohol, at the state level, we collect 10 cents a drink, 10 cents a beer, 10 cents a glass of wine. You know, that's what we collect. 10 cents a shot, if you figure it out. At the local level in Anchorage, we collect zero for alcohol. No taxes on alcohol whatsoever. Zero. 300 million in alcohol sales a year, no taxes in Anchorage, no user fee. And, you know, you don't have to look far to see the results of alcoholism in Anchorage or anywhere else you live in the world. But the point is, it's a free ride for alcoholism. And I don't like a free ride for anybody, for anything. And here's my view of it. In Anchorage, we collect 21 million a year in cigarette taxes. No one's getting run over by a cigarette smoker for smoking cigarettes. But, you know, 21 million is what's collected. And it's, I kind of think that's a user fee. It's like, you know, $9 a pack or whatever it is in taxes versus a dollar in cigarette costs. But, you know, hey, you want to smoke, pay your own bill. You want to drink, pay your own bill and pay my cost too, because it costs me money for people to drink in Anchorage, because we have $1 billion with a B in public places, parks, trails, just like you have in Austin, that you can't use anymore. You can't let your kids go out there. When I was 5, I could play there. You can't do it anymore if you're 20 safely. You know, this is what's happened. We've given up our public places. I can't check my mail on the weekends anymore in a federal post office because of homelessness. And really, it's not homelessness. It's alcoholics and drug addicts occupying the post office on the weekends. You know, this is what's happened to the beginning. Okay, you want to see what it looks like? Jump over the border to Mexico and take a look around, and you get a pretty good picture of it. When your situation has become corrupted by a valueless system that wants to tolerate everything, and it's not about tolerance, okay? It's about accepting what we see and then addressing it. And here's the other thing that I really have a problem with on the left. Again, it's about judgment. You know, everybody's saying, oh, you can't judge this, you can't judge that, blah, blah, blah. I get that, okay? And even from my perspective, you know, judge ye not lest ye be judged. Okay, I understand all that. But what I can judge, and I do judge every day with every interaction I have, is what am I going to do? Okay, we can do that. We can make a judgment on how we're going to interact with someone else based on their behavior. And that's okay. We don't have to say, all right, your behavior is fine, we're going to tolerate it. No. We don't have to tolerate it. We can recognize it, meet people where they are, and then intervene like good human beings should intervene. And that means in this case, in our culture, in our society, we arrest people for breaking the law and we hold them accountable. And if they have mental illness, we have the compassion as a culture to address that. If they have drug and alcohol problems and those are their choices, then we can put them in an environment where they don't get to make those choices anymore, and we can maybe help them find a way through it. But this idea of giving them a home and bonding that with public money in my community, I find repugnant, because the first step is we have to fix the underlying problems and not address the symptoms like we do in almost everything else in this country. We need to get back to a value-based system where we share common values across political boundaries, because we recognize the humanity of that. And this is what needs to change. And what we see happening is more separation from the tolerant left, who truly are selfish, self-centered human beings working in what they believe is someone else's interest. And it is the same attitude that was here in my state in the 1960s and before, when they were removing Native American children from their homes and putting them in boarding schools because we needed to civilize these people. Now, I can tell you from my friends who had that experience, this was a traumatic experience, ladies and gentlemen, just like it would be for every single soul listening to this, but it was done with great intentions. And there's a lot of things done with great intentions, but doing it out of guilt and tolerance is selfish. Doing it out of acceptance and recognition of where people are and actually intervening and doing something about it is another matter. And that's called tough love in the end of the day. And it's the hardest thing human beings deal with, because we get lost in our own guilt and stupidity in terms of how we're addressing the problem, because we're doing it from our perspective. What would we be doing if we were in that situation? I understand that. But it is not you in that situation, because you've chosen differently, or you've had circumstances affect you differently. You've decided to overcome the trauma that you faced in life differently, because every living soul faces trauma in this lifetime, because that's what life is about often. Trauma, overcoming, and change. And then there's the salvation in that, you know, overcoming and finding a way through it. But it's not done by doing what we're doing. You know, here in Anchorage, Tuesday, I didn't even bother to go to our assembly meeting, because their next agenda item is to create permanent tent camps. What? Now we're going to tolerate that and accept that as our new normal? This is not normal, ladies and gentlemen, in America. And it shouldn't be normal in the richest state in the United States per capita, Alaska. And that's what it is. We have all the resources under the sun, and we cannot figure it out for lack of leadership. The big deficit in the world is leadership. Well, you know what Donald Trump offered the world? A baseball bat of leadership that was long overdue. You know, and we have a governor that's pissed off everybody simultaneously in Alaska because of what he did with our budgets. But he definitely got everyone engaged in the political process that were pretty quiet for a long time. And that's a healthy thing in a democratic republic, in my view. But real solutions to these problems needs to be addressed, and leadership needs to address it, and not by coddling bad behavior and making it accepted. No, making it tolerated so we all swallow our tongue as we walk down the street. No. This is not the American character. This is not our culture. And this is not who we are. And then the left will say, oh, but you're making being poor a crime. No, we're not. Because those that are legitimately in trouble, women, children, people that are just in bad circumstance, there are ways through it. But we need to meet people where they are individually and hold them either accountable, or we need to lift them up in the way that human beings should lift each other in an appropriate way, not accepting behavior that is, not accepting standards that are below what any of us would want in our households. Because if you want to provide a home for the homeless, move one in with their mental illness and their alcoholism and their drug addiction. That's not the answer, and you'll soon realize it. It's find a way for them and be the compassionate human being that we were born to be and rise into who we are so we can lift someone else up by meeting them where they are. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We're going to be right back after these messages.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars.com. And, you know, I want to pick up kind of where I left off, but I want to roll back a bit from my, again, talk from my own experience. You know, I had an occasion where I was invited to speak at a conference, and it was called The Environment and Poverty. And it was in Istanbul, Turkey. And it's like, man, almost 20 years ago. It's a long time ago. And I wrote a paper by the same name called The Environment and Poverty. It just so happens. And this particular group was the Orthodox. It was Bartholomew, who was the Orthodox patriarch from Istanbul, one of five patriarchs. For those who don't know the history of this, you know, in I think it was 1054 AD, the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox split. And there were essentially patriarchs, and Istanbul was the like the lead guy, first among equals, they called them. And there were five patriarchs scattered around the world. I met them all at one point or another, but they invited me to come to this conference, and I ended up presenting a paper there and doing a bunch of things. But the environment and poverty, what was it? Was what it was about? And the concept that I was presenting was essentially bottom up. You know, you meet people where they are. You don't impose your program on them. You find out, you know, where they are, and maybe you can do something, maybe you can't. But, you know, there's a different approach to how we deal with each other internationally. And it was pretty well accepted. And I got a chance to do it, actually, to actualize that paper in Chicolun Village, a traditional tribal council and village nation within the nation here in Alaska. And I did that. I was able to work with Gary Harrison, Chief Harrison, and a number of people in Chicolun Village for 5 years as their tribal administrator and a year as their tribal planner. And I want to talk about social services from a real perspective. You know, this is a multi-generational impacted group by cultures colliding. You know, so it's like fresh in everyone's memory. You know, people actually experienced it. And I can tell you, you know, when you look at the face of homelessness in Anchorage, a lot of it has Native American faces on it because of that clash of culture. and what I would call, you know, a post-traumatic stress syndrome from alcoholism, drug abuse, all of it. But when you go back to Chicolin Village in the early 1900s had 250 tribal citizens. And then something else that was imported in those days, it was the flu epidemic, killed everyone but five sisters who then sort of regrew the village back to about 250 today. And that happened everywhere, you know. And I mean, there were a lot of things that were really screwed up then. But the result is we have a lot of people that have been damaged by it. And a certain level of responsibility, you know, goes with this. And Alaska derives all of its revenue from rural sources, which is always forgotten. You know, it's oil, gas, minerals, timber, fish that have driven the economy here. It's rural resources and rural people that have been impacted. And so how we address that, you know, needs to recognize that. And we've tried, you know, we created endowments. We even had our university was a land-based university before we were a state because we had no revenue sources. You know, school districts were formed here as the first form of government. So we had no way to fund schools, you know, when public schools became in the 1920s something that was desirable. You know, when you look at the impacts and what's happened, then it begs for a solution, not forgetting about it and forgetting the divinity of human beings in all of this. Ultimately, you meet people where they are, and then you deal with that, you know. And in some cases, it means an arrest, you know. In other cases, it means rehab. And in other cases, it means skill building. In other cases, it means who knows what. But we had a social service program that had some unique provisions that we were able to act within Chicolin Village very rapidly. And so one of my, the only social service guy we had at the time handled 1,100 cases in 1 year. That's a lot of case management, okay? And we never had one complaint. And we had a lot of the folks that he had served volunteering in our programs and contributing time and effort because we found ways to make it work. You know, for instance, I'll give you a couple examples. Somebody's getting thrown out of their apartment because they don't have the safety shoes to go to work and their car's broken down. But they got two kids and a wife and they're trying to make it and they're barely making it. What we would do as a village is instead of wait till they're on the street with all their possessions, homeless now, and now we have a $20,000 or $30,000 fix to get this family back on its feet and working again. Or we could intervene right then, which is what we would do. And we would go get the boots, fix the car, and then we would find out what took them into this place and could we build their skills? Could we do something to enhance their income potential? Or maybe it was just simply budgeting, you know, but what is it underlying the problem and how do we address it? And for $400 or $500, we could keep the person working and then fix the underlying problem so they would be more productive in their culture and in ours. And everyone benefited by that. And there was dignity in that. And there wasn't failure in that. There was success in that. And that's what every human being really desires. And when they fall too far into mental illness or alcoholism or drug addiction, then we have to address it differently if we're any kind of a compassionate culture. But it's to face the truth of it, that people made bad choices and now they have to be responsible. So it means arrest, rehab, and reform. That's the objective. And we have to address it. Not by giving up all of our rights as a culture and accepting through tolerance this idea that somehow this is good for people, when in fact it's not. It's worse for people. It's abandonment of people. It's throwing them to the wolves to be devoured by one another. And that is not a civil society that I would like to be a part of. And it's wearing on all of us who live now as far east as Austin. Because when you go to communities where this doesn't happen, there's a reason. And the underlying reason is they actually attack the underlying problem, which is not homelessness. It's drugs, alcohol, and the things that flow from it. And in some cases, it's really human misery that needs to be addressed. It can be in a much more aggressive way. So having said all that, you know, getting back to the war on the ground, we have to have the opportunity to say this and to come at this from a different angle. And, you know, you hear about all this compassion and tolerance from the left, and I don't see it. We need to amplify that right now. You know, yep, sometimes you got to be tough. We got a president who maybe overdoes it a little bit. But you know what? The job is getting done, you know, and sometimes it takes tough things and contrarian things to make things work. That's why the voice of Alex Jones and all of us need to be heard. Now, in this century, facing the biggest problems of all, it is about InfoWars. It always has been about InfoWars, and now more than ever, because their solutions, but they're coming from the right. They're coming from a sense of responsibility, accountability, and values. And that's what we need to find the common ground on again. You know, I think about, I watched some of the videos, you know, and you have people doing these crazy things to make social points and to try and convince the public to accept things at a level of, no, the truth works. It still works. When we make mistakes, we need to fix them rapidly, because we do. We all make them. And we need to learn by them. But more importantly, we need to engage a dignified debate and make sure we have a fighting chance. You know, banned videos is, in fact, probably going to be one of the most important alternative outlets out there in 2020. People need to let people know. They need to support the InfoWars, this network. Get involved. Spread the word. Do something that changes it a little bit. And do it with intention. Do it because you care about the country, you care about your family, you care about your great-great-grandchildren and your adversaries' great-great-grandchildren who none of us know right now. But I guarantee you, if you are an awake human soul, you care about them. And what we do today is going to matter for them. Today, right now, engage the public. Engage this network, support people that share common ideas. I mean, look at what Walmart has just done. You know, they've abandoned the base of their consumers, right? They're not going to carry bullets. And here in Alaska, they quit carrying handguns. We were the last state they still did it until this last week. You know what? Support people that share your value. Should support networks that share your values and support this one. Support Alex. Hold him up in prayer. Go into this weekend with the intention to change the world. We'll do it one bite at a time. This is Dick Baggage signing off on this Friday afternoon.